It'll be interesting to see how long it continues recording this time.
Hey, Seth.
Hey, Angelus.
Mug on the ground, drink in the mouth. That is WTF at TFW, episode 353.
Thanks for joining us.
See you guys later. Hey, we're back. We're here today to talk to you about Transformers. Hi, I'm Vangelis. I'm hosting the podcast. I'm joined by Seth Buzzard. Hi, Seth.
Hi, Vangelis.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, I've managed to stay healthy for two shows in a row.
Yeah, that's...
that's awesome.
That's a fortnight.
I did it.
Woo! All right.
I built the fort.
You get your first, like, chip, your first little thing. It's like 2 weeks sober from being sick.
Yeah. I mean, allergies are kicking, but does it count as being sick? Because it's a different thing.
Right, that's not being sick. That is your body just acting like it's sick, because it's like, I don't like these things.
Yeah.
That's how I process my allergies anyway. Because they're annoying. We're going to talk a little TF, and we're going to open up with a USA Today article. Because that's how fancy Transformers have gotten. So, fancy.
Well, wasn't it the 07 BotCon at the hotel? They left a copy of USA Today outside of everybody's rooms in the morning. And there was a mention of BotCon in that, if I remember correctly.
That means BotCon 2007 was probably the last fancy BotCon.
Yeah.
Those people outside agreed. No,
they were doing
movie stuff,
and the movie was all happening. And
yeah.
I think it was coverage about the big movie screening they had.
Yeah, that was
and
so
all
fun.
The celebrities.
Tyrese walking into a room to go, like, left pocket, and then leaving. And then everyone being all like, well, I guess it was okay because we were watching it in a huge crowd at BotCon, so it's kind of impossible to not enjoy yourself. It was pretty cool. USA Today had an article about a whole bunch of stuff, but the first thing I want to talk about in it is that they revealed some of the results of the fan-built combiner poll, because it was sort of on topic with the article. The article in question was about female characters in Transformers and how many more of them there are now than perhaps there were before. And that is true. In fact, it was a cool article to see because we briefly talked about the topic when I interviewed Mark Weber from Hasbro last BotCon. So that was neat. It's especially cool to see Transformers having a positive headline right after Avengers had a somewhat negative headline along the same means. Pardon?
I didn't hear the Avenger thing.
Oh, there was a thing about
just
Avengers.
Like not enough girls.
It was in the merch, mostly. That, like, Black Widow is not present in a lot of the merchandise. And the response being, because it's a boys' line, etc., etc. And that conversation started. Over here in Transformers land, our article was, yo, look, there's way more girls in Transformers! So, we're clearly doing better than Avengers. Starting something. Anyway, the thing that was revealed is that the fan-built combiner is six female Autobots who are combining into Victorion, which is the precise, perfect, that's the name that had to win. Because if it didn't win, that would mean that the Transformers fandom had actually turned into the worst thing. So, the good name won, we're in the good timeline, and I am super stoked and excited. I was already saying on Twitter, a few other ideas. Number one, there's two other names that go with Victorion. There's Saber Varion and there's Galaxion. Now, I understand Galaxion might mean something else, like video game, whatever. So just change the I to a Y and then give us a white and gold repaint of Victorion called Galaxion. That'll be on topic number one. On topic number two, if it's six toys, then undoubtedly one of them is a Legends toy. That Legends toy should be painted blue and be called a Varion, because that also is on topic with the source material from which Victorion is drawn. those are my demands. Also, if Victorion, apparently who's going to debut in the comic book in July, if Victorion combines with a proper super robot-y scene, punching, you know, invisible foes while saying her name, I will buy 3 copies of the physical issue of the comic book. Basically, I'm trying to blackmail everyone working on this thing to give me more Brave Saga references. But, yeah, we now know the name, affiliation, and gender of the fan-built bot combiner. And it's, admittedly, it's the result that most of the loudest voices wanted, myself included. So, it's a little unsurprising, but it's nice to have confirmation that this is not going to be called Quake Break, which was the worst name. and anyone who voted for that, I don't feel bad for you. Slammeth, that's a cool name. This was not its time. But if you voted for Quake Break, I have no sympathy, because you chose to vote for the loser name. So, you know, don't do that next time. Then you get to be on the winning team.
If the majority was voting for female characters, Victorion is the best of those three for a female robot. Mm. Although Slammeth would have been amazing.
Slammeth is for another time. It is for...
If it was a girl team named Slammeth, I would be okay.
No, I'd be cool with that too, but not a robot made of vehicles. Slammeth has got to be a bunch of just like straight up robot Ice Age vehicles with a huge woolly mammoth in the middle.
Ice Age vehicles?
Ice Age robot... animal things, which I guess you could call vehicles. I don't know. I'm just ecstatic
There were humans in the Ice Age, like maybe a sled. And then some other sleds. Just a team of sleds.
Who's the sucker that gets to transform into a sled?
Well, if it's Ice Age vehicles, that's probably pretty much all they had.
Yeah, sleds and like string, rope. Wolves. Wolves are like vehicles. Seth, how do you feel about the fan-built bot turnout that we've seen so far?
Seems fairly predictable.
Mm-hmm.
That it would end up being all ladies, and then having a name that fits. I mean, I probably, if I had put money down on it, that probably would have been my bet. But yeah, should be all right.
Mm-hmm.
It does seem like we're way past the days of, well, you can't put girl characters into a boy toy line because they'll never ever sell, because it seems like the female characters sell the fastest these days. Like my trials and tribulations trying to find a Scarlet Witch.
Mm-hmm.
In the Spider-Man waves, the female characters seem to disappear from the shelves first. It seems to be across the board, like girl characters sell quick now. Unless you're Slave Leia. Aww.
Yeah, that Slave Leia is almost, like, I'm sure that she's not, but she's almost perfect as, like, the bookend on the old era of, like, here's everything that could have gone wrong all at the same time, and now things are better.
Yeah, this is what it used to be, surrounded by examples of how it's different now.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say it's that we're well past, but I think we're in the midst of the transitory period. Because okay. It seems like the mentality of the boys' line versus the girls' line is still prevalent in the decision makers, the people with money level of things. It's a mindset that is still pretty common to discover, I'm finding.
Yeah.
So,
but like with Marvel Legends, they've been doing like 2 female characters a wave.
Yeah,
pretty
that's
consistently
awesome.
Now, and they're the ones that I see the least.
Yeah.
Like I only found the new Captain Marvel once. I've never seen it since.
I think that a more modern outlook is moving its way up the chain. I think Hasbro is definitely one of the companies who are out in front the most for that kind of thing.
Well, and they've said that there's like more of a intermingling. Mm-hmm. Like the boys line isn't just for boys anymore.
Yeah, I mean it's
attracting females.
It's not the best example, but I'll always go back to it. Nerf Rebel is a big thing for this particular topic of conversation. In that it, as far as I know, was not an abject failure. And in fact, the collectible darts aspect brought in a whole lot of male buyers as well, who just thought that was cool.
Yeah.
And the Nerf Rebel color palettes at some points were way cooler than the normal Nerf color palettes. Yeah. So.
Well, and my girlfriend has become interested in a lot of this nerdy junk that I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And she always gets excited when there's a girl character.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, she's cool. Like, oh, you got to get that RC. Oh, you got to get that Captain Marvel. Oh, you got to get that, like, whatever the female character is. Like, that's on the menu. Like,
yeah.
Got to get got. I can't skip the girls.
Yeah. And it's still, I mean, to some people, you know, it doesn't feel that new. But I think in part that's just because when it comes to hobbies, nowadays, something in a hobby is old hat once it's more than 6 months old. But I think it is still both a positive thing and something that I would not call old hat yet, that there is a lot more just female character representation in toy lines and action figure lines specifically.
Yeah. And I hope it's not just like a novelty factor.
Me too.
Like male collectors are like, oh, there's barely ever been lady characters and now there's all these lady characters and that's cool. And then we're going to hit a wall where it's like, okay, with the girls, enough with the girls. And I kind of worry about, like, a whole girl team maybe being, a tipping point toward that. Like, when it comes out, if it doesn't sell well, because, like, oh, now it's pandering. It's like, yeah, but you asked for the pandering. You voted for the pandering.
Yeah, and I always feel like, I feel like I don't know how to participate in the conversation right now about whether or not something is pandering or whether it's a positive inclusion type thing. Like, I don't, because to me, it's a real, it's a much finer line than I think a lot of people make it out to be. And I actually don't have much to offer to when people are talking about whether or not that is happening. Like, in this case, even, I've seen it said that, like, oh, this is pandering. They're girlificationizing the Combiner Wars line. And I feel like, my knee-jerk reaction is, well, no.
People voted for it.
Yeah, people voted for it.
If it wasn't voted for, then, okay, we could have that conversation. But this was the result of a vote.
Yeah.
And if Hasbro just said, hey, check it out, guys, all these chicks, then it's like, well, let's examine if this is pandering.
Yeah.
But I really think it's a case-by-case basis.
Like, totally.
You look at, like, you know, you're talking about Marvel again. You look at some of these Marvel characters, like Captain Marvel, her costume redesign, they really desexualized her costume a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think that's a positive thing.
I think her new costume actually looks way more badass. Same thing for the current Batgirl costume. Like, yeah. they look tougher and they look more like, I don't know if it's the right word. They look more intimidating. Captain costume
Marvel,
design.
It references her original costume but modernizes it.
Yeah.
But then you're starting to see a change toward, like, more positive female representation in pro wrestling, too, where you have characters like Charlotte Flair, who isn't just like, oh, it's this sexy lady that comes out and has this really awkward, clunky match with another sexy lady. Like, Charlotte Flair's character is, she's tough as hell, and she's gonna wreck you.
And especially in pro wrestling, I feel like they've got a 100 times higher uphill angle to fight against, given the nature of that industry. Yeah. And the folks who are making the calls. And a lot of the fans, too, to be honest.
Yeah, but then, you know, they're not 100% going in a positive direction. Where last week they introduced this new woman in NXT, and, like, all the build-up for her is, like, she's this fitness model. And she competes in, like, those fitness competitions, and she's super ripped, mm-hmm. and look at her working out, and she's all intense. And then the first time she comes out to the ring, she's just wiggling around all sexy.
Yeah.
And she's got, like, sexy music. And it's like, okay, well, now you've kind of wrecked this whole potential of this woman, where she could have been, like, this, like, really savage badass just coming out crushing people.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like, she's wiggling around and being provocative and... So, you know, there's still a lot of work to do.
a lot of
ground to make up.
And the
quality.
And the backbone of the actual conversation still has a long way to go as well. Like, there are a lot more people able to actually maturely, you know, engage about this now than even a couple years ago. But at the end of the day, there are still a whole lot more loud people who want to boil the whole thing down to, like, three-letter, like, summaries of of what side they think the other person is on. And that's, at the end, like, a lot of that is sadly accurate, and it's also very damaging to the conversation, so there's no right answer, as far as I'm concerned right now.
Yeah, well, on YouTube, there's a woman, Anita Sarkazian. She's done a bunch of videos about gender roles of female characters, specifically in video games, mm-hmm. is like where her primary focus is. And some of her videos, I think, kind of go a little out there. Mm-hmm. And she has a lot of detractors, but she also makes a lot of really good cogent points. And I found a lot of her videos pretty educational on things that just never occurred to me. Mm-hmm. Like gender signifiers and stuff. Like Miss Pac-Man is Pac-Man with a bow and a beauty mark. And then other countless examples of how that's just how you identify a female character, stick a bow on it.
Mm-hmm.
So a character from Transformers, to bring it back on topic, like Strongarm, who doesn't have a lot of like those really generic cliche gender signifiers.
Yeah.
Like she's blue. She's not pink. She's kind of burly in her proportions. She's not lithe and overly feminized.
She doesn't have high heels as part of her own physicality.
Right. I think that's a really positive step,
mm-hmm.
and really forward thinking and a nice change of pace.
Yeah.
And she's not just, well, like, I haven't watched the show, but my understanding is she's not just the girl one.
No, she's a lot more of the, I mean, she still is a pretty classic caricature, but she's the, oh God, now I forgot the word I was looking for. She's the one who's obsessed with the rules. She's the cop. She's the good cop, even, like the eager young good cop. The one who knows all the rules, regulations, quotes them, wants everyone to follow them, you know, the kind of, like, stick-up-the-butt kind of, like, hey, we gotta do this by the regs kind of character.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's cool that her character is not that, it's the girl of the team! Like, there's more to it. Right. And I'm, as of this recording, I am actually not caught up on R.I.D., but I watched a couple episodes, and, yeah, like, also, I think Constance Zimmer does a good performance on the voice, so she's kind of, that character has won me over pretty hardcore.
Yeah, that's cool and all. So
yeah, and also because you name dropped Anita Sarkeesian, I'll just throw out there that I'm sorry if the discussion thread has turned into a nuclear war, as that seems to be a thing that occasionally happens. Although a lot of you guys who actually listen to this podcast tend to be of the more calm ilk, and I really appreciate that. I like that the WTF sub forum is kind of like a little bit of a bomb sheltered haven where, you know, people can still get snippy, people can still get a bit mean or whatever, but at least it's not like, you know, I gotta put on a gas mask to walk into any threads. Hugs to all of you.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I was a slightly hesitant on name dropping her because she has been such like a lightning rod,
but you know what, I think that sucks. I really hate it when, like, a person's name, like, unless they've committed some kind of actual moral atrocity, like, for a person's name to become something like, oh, I don't know if I should say this because we might get invaded by the more vitriolic discussion. Like, it kind of makes me mad, like, when I'm afraid to talk about something that honestly is not something that I should be afraid to talk about. Like, it's not like we're talking about human lives being ended by a person whose name we're now dropping. You know, it's the difference between talking about a person who comments on something currently in a social medium as opposed to someone who walks around shooting people in the back of the head. There is quite a difference in there. The next thing we're going to talk about is from the same article, but this could be considered very minor spoilers. I mean, USA Today has announced it, so if you are trying to stay away from this as a spoiler, I wish you the best of luck. We are going to talk about a character who's going to be appearing in Robots in Disguise that has not been named yet, and I want to give you the heads up now. You might want to skip ahead like 5-10 minutes in the podcast if you really don't want to know. And I'll say again, this has been revealed in USA Today, so clearly it's not intended to be a surprise anymore, but I want to give you the heads up. All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We're going to talk about it now. In Robots in Disguise, Windblade, the fan-built bot of last year, is going to be appearing. This is going to be her first appearance outside of the IDW comic book continuity, so she is now officially a cross-medium Transformers character. Her design looks... It is Windblade. Like, there's absolutely no questioning that that is Windblade. She is decidedly more badass in the comic book, cartoon appearance. Not to say her comic book appearance is not badass, but in the cartoon, she is coming off way more as a hardcore kick your ass type of character. And they seem to be making quite a lot of use of the turbines in her wings. as an offensive weapon. But it's really cool to see the character appearing there. And, like, the voice, I'm not sure who is voicing her in the clip, but she sounds cool. She looks cool. That's neat. Windblade is going to be in Robots in Disguise. That means she is now up there with characters like Lockdown and Bulkhead for being a non-G1 character that has broken out and made it into more than one continuity line. And that's super cool. Seth, I know you haven't been keeping up with the comics, so you might not be as versed with Windblade, but what are you thinking of her cartoon appearance?
Well, I watched the clip in the video, or mm-hmm. the video clip in the front page story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she looks cool. My concern would be, like, okay, she makes this badass first appearance, and then if you ever see her again in future episodes, she's just, like, pulling good guy Vegeta and kind of standing in the background with her arms folded, huffing and tissing at stuff a lot, and not really doing much.
Tissing? So,
well, like, a lot of, like,
Never heard that as a verb before. That was pretty cool.
Oh, my grandmother used to say it. Like, she wouldn't make the noise. She would just go, tiss. If you made a corny joke, she'd get tiss.
Yeah, that's stripping down all the communication. Just like, all right, all you need to know is I'm tissing. Tiss.
Yeah.
No bones, just tiss.
So, yeah, it's like, what do they do with her after the initial appearance?
I guess I'm not sure because I haven't seen any of the episodes with other new, quote-unquote, new cast members like Drift or Jazz. So I'm not sure how, like, new characters who are getting toys are being integrated into the show. Like, are they just becoming regulars or are they, like, guest characters?
She has a scene with Drift and she blushes and goes, oh, senpai. And it's like, all right, turn it off. Forget it.
Windblade and Drift are going to both be in the same cartoon. And that is kind of exciting to me, given what people thought they were going to be like in the comic books. But yeah, she looks cool. She really fits the design style pretty well. And I like the stuff they're doing with her VTOL blades, actually, like, doing stuff. In the comics, they just kind of leave a trail of light when she travels in vehicle mode, which also looks cool. And it also seems that Windblade, Chromia, and RC in the comics are going to be getting new color schemes when they become the Combiner Hunters, which is quite a toyetic thing to do, so that leads me to assume they are going to get toys like that as well. But yeah, they're going to be a team of three female Autobots who apparently go and hunt Combiners, which seems kind of mean. So I'm hoping there's more to it than just, like, we hate Combiners.
I hope the recolor is they just cycle the colors one over. So, like, Chromia becomes red, RC becomes blue, and Windblade becomes pink or some other combination of that.
Well, we've seen the new colors. The new colors / new designs.
They're picture all that, black, like ninjas.
RC is black and purple in the new color scheme. Okay. Windblade is still red and black, but has added a bit of gold armor and has, like, a new head crest. And Chromia just looks like Chromia. Apparently she does have differences, but I couldn't immediately spot them. And I didn't look for too long because I figure when it comes to comic stuff, I'm going to read it when it comes out. And I kind of like to just wait till stuff comes out. With comics. I don't know why that's the way I am with Transformers comics, but yeah, lots of positive news on the female Transformers end of things. Honestly, the only real bummer that hides kind of in the corner, the elephant in the room of this, is that the most recent issue of Combiner Wars, which was Windblade Combiner Wars number 2, was probably, and I really hate to say this, one of the worst issues of IDW I've seen in a while, and not in terms of the writing or the art or anything specific, it's that it feels like the artist, the writer, and the editor never interacted at all, and I can feel it in the comic book, and there are bewildering things going wrong in it, and I don't understand why.
Weird.
Yeah, I don't want to go too much deeper into it, but, like, there's a character with the wrong name, and then there are characters who are drawn... They are drawn magnificently wrong. Like, they are not even drawn as the characters they are. One of the protective bots at one point is Mainframe the Action Master. And in another panel, one of the protective bots turns into, I think, Grotesque the Monster Bot. And It's really weird. Livio Raimondelli, the artist, has said that he was working off of references given to him, and apparently he was given the wrong ones, and the editor never caught it. And it was weird. Hopefully that's a one-off thing, because I don't want that book to get mired in junk right away. Anyway, that's all that I think I got to talk about in this topic. Seth, you even told me what your new picture pick is, and now I forgot.
It's more girl stuff.
Oh, no! Girls!
More girl stuff.
This is
MP26, Masterpiece Road Rage is a chick.
She has a number, too?
Yeah, she's got a number, and the number is girl.
Ah!
So, they're going to repaint tracks.
Yes.
And they're going to do some retooling on tracks. And they're going to base all of this on an eHobby exclusive from October of 2002.
And I was just going to say from a while ago because I can't remember anymore. But then I just noticed that
I'm only pulling that because I have the Transformer wiki page open.
The Japanese article, the text right next to Road Rage, amidst all the Japanese characters, literally says 2002 eHobby Shop. So I guess I could have just looked at it.
All right, well, I'm looking at the TF wiki. So it was effectively just like a red tracks.
Yep.
And that's fine. So it's going to have a new head. The Masterpiece version is going to have a new head. I guess there's like a slightly different bicep piece from pictures I've seen online where people are circling things with red circles.
Because that communicates everything.
And she's going to have a more narrow crotch plate. So that's all well and good.
Yeah.
The new head's all right. It's tracks-ish, but different. So it's not like radically different. Like the bits of the helmet that kind of come down around the cheeks are a little thinner. Mm-hmm. The head crest is more pronounced, and I guess just the face in general is a little more ladyish.
I'm really hoping that they figure out a way to do a swappable face with a faceplate, because that was a thing about the G1 toy version, is they leaned into the faceplate that the actual toy had. I kind of prefer, I like the face sculpt looks so good, I wouldn't want to get rid of it, but I'd love to have the option to swap in a mouth-plated face like they did with Bumblebee, only not having to buy him from like Amazon Japan to get the faceplate.
Yeah, well, when I first saw the announcement, and it's like, it's Road Rash, I'm like, I don't remember Road Rash, and Road Rash is a lady, I'm like, I don't remember any red or alternate colored tracks that was a lady. I don't know anything about this. And then I look it up, and then I was thinking, like, I wonder if this was like an eHobby exclusive. And then I look it up, I'm like, yep.
But it was an eHobby exclusive based on it, like some of their other exclusives back in the reissue days. It's based on an existing Diaclone color scheme,
right? That was my other thought, like, this must be a Diaclone thing.
Yeah. So this is also like along the same lines as Exhaust and Tiger Track. That's why I was all wondering.
Probably closer to Tiger Track. Was there an eHobby?
Oh, Exhaust? No. Exhaust right. is a very standalone. But she does have in common with Exhaust getting a whole new Masterpiece number. So I was curious if that had caused any uproar, and I didn't actually go to look. But
probably. Probably safe bet somebody got uproared about it.
Yep, they got a roar right up there.
I'm sure somebody else is uproared that it's a girl. So
probably,
you know, people are
first female Masterpiece toy, I believe. I'm not sure if I'm forgetting like a minifigure or something, or if that even counts, but this is I'm pretty sure it's the first Masterpiece female robot that we have gotten.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I would like to see an RC though.
Oh yeah, that would be great. But,
yeah, and you know, it's kind of cheating.
So, I mean, the fact that they are remolding enough parts on her, I'm kind of like, I'm more okay with it, with that many or that much bodywork being done. If it was
I'm saying it's kind of cheating because it's an eHobby character.
Yeah, it's not a G1 character, but I don't know. I like the eHobby reissue day characters. Like they're all so weird. I don't mind seeing them entering Masterpiece. I think they I mean, they're all over 10 years old now. They deserve it. They deserve an ice cream.
So what was the faceplate gimmick with the
With Bumblebee?
No, you said with the original figure.
Oh no, the original figure, they just used the G1 toy who already had a faceplate sculpted on.
Right.
So in the artwork, they drew Road Rage as being a faceplated, I think a really angry lady robot, because her name is Road Rage.
And then it looks like she was in the comics without a faceplate.
Yeah, she was in the...
Because without red lipstick lips, as a gender signifier.
Ah!
I learned fancy words from YouTube videos.
Yes. They also used, because they made a Classics Road Rage for a BotCon set who was then given a purple symbol and called Shatterglass Tracks, but it was quite obviously Road Rage. I remember I was actually part of the crowd saying, like, hey, this character had painted lips on the design. That would have been nice to see on the toy. And that is where the faced Road Rage is coming from, is from that BotCon exclusive.
Yeah. I mean, that would be cool if there were some sort of faceplate option.
Yeah.
Besides just something you stick on, I'm not sure how they would do that.
I mean, I don't know how the toys build. I would go for, like, either a swappable head or just, like, you could pull the face off because it's, like, tabbed in, like on Bumblebee.
Uh-huh. That'll be that Japanese Amazon exclusive.
Yeah, the Amazon version of the eHobby reimagined. We got layers going on here.
Yeah, like the regular release will have some garbage optional face.
She's just like going like, nah, like her mouth is tilted like, down slightly.
No, we'll come with like one face with red lipstick and another face with like blue lipstick. And then you gotta, but it's the exact same face. They just painted the lips different. And then you have to get the pay through the nose to middleman a Japanese Amazon version that has like the cool faceplate face.
Yeah. And Dr. Wu just makes, like, 15 differently designed faceplate faces in a big pack for $50.
Yeah. Like, the Japanese Amazon version comes with a flag that says, I'm gonna kill you, or something rad like that.
Yeah, you know, classic Road Rage character trait, carrying a flag that says, I'm gonna kill you.
If that was a character trait, she'd be, like, my favorite character.
Well, I don't remember her character that well, but all I remember is she's super mad. She's well, there, a very angry character.
Now, whoa. Negative female roles.
Yes.
Let's get upset about this.
Isn't she a Decepticon, too?
No, she's an Autobot.
Really? Why do I think she's a Decepticon?
Because you're drunk on power.
I am. I'm
now
practically...
Double checking. Yeah, no, she's got Autobot things all over her eHobby version.
Okay. I don't know why I thought she was a Decepticon.
Because you think women are evil, you misogynist.
I kind of hate them, so yeah, I guess it is like coloring my bias a little bit.
I'll tell you the awful joke I'm not going to say on the show here later. I've been wrestling with this awful joke the whole time we've been talking about it, but I'm not going to do it.
All right. Well, thank you for not doing the awful joke.
It'd be very upsetting.
Yes. Ask Seth on Twitter about it if you want to.
I ain't
well, ask him. I'm not saying he's going to tell you, but if you want to ask him, you can find him on SethBuzzard@twitter.com. Yeah, I can't remember if we've had a date given for when this Road Rage is going to be out, but Trax isn't out till September, so Road Rage probably won't be out till like November at the earliest, I expect.
Sometimes MP releases come pretty close together.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, I mean, they're not going to be simultaneous, but...
There's a decent break between Wheeljack and Exhaust, but, well, I say this, Exhaust was also the most extenuating circumstances ever, so never mind what I just said.
Yeah, but, like, Exhaust, Ultra Magnus, and Star Saber were all really close together.
Yeah, you're right. Well, but then Star Saber was almost a separate project altogether, so I don't...
Let's say, October, November, maybe.
Yeah, that's where I would feel good about it. Also, it's kind of great that we're discussing, well, they're only releasing 5 Masterpiece toys this year. How is it all going to balance out? Like, you know, the fact that we're getting more than one a year at all is pretty cool still. IMHO. Means in my humble opinion. Well, I was going to cheap out, and my new picture pick was almost going to be that On 420, it was TFW 2005's 15th anniversary.
Uh-oh.
But that would have been super cheap. Although, it's kind of crazy that the site is 15 years old and I have been on it since it started. It's kind of weird. I already felt weird 5 years ago about it. Now I feel like double weird and triple internet old. But...
yeah, it's kind of a bummer.
I mean,
I wasn't there as quickly as you were, but I wasn't much later.
Yeah. You weren't an eager beaver like me. Running all up this new site during high school and going like, I want to join this site. This looks like a good time. That's what I sounded like back when I was like 14, 15. Which is when I joined TFW. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
I was still in my 20s.
Man. The internet.
Wasting my life.
Then you found TFW.
When other people in their 20s are dating girls and going to, like, bars and stuff, I'm, like, sitting at home by myself Friday night looking at Transformer websites.
Woo! Hey, back then, back in, like, 2000, 99, 2000, whatever, that's pretty exciting. I can't do math. I can pick out a new picture pick that's actually a picture of toys.
Back then, I lived within walking distance of, like, 6 bars.
Were they good bars, though?
Some of them were pretty cool.
Okay, okay.
The Hideaway was all right. It was like a, it was like one of the rock bar, rock and roll bars. And then McNear's has always been like the cool, kind of like college people bar. It's a really good restaurant during the day, and then like Friday, Saturday night, it's like it. I don't know. Maybe it's the more fratty. And then there's like some really dank pits.
That's a, well, I was going to say that, you know, you don't need to go to a bar just because you live near one, because you could be living next to, like, a complete trash hole, and you shouldn't feel obligated to go there.
All right. Clearly you aren't. Wide range. Right. Wide range. I hardly ever drank back then. Like, I would have, like, one drink every 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
Not that I'm an alcoholic now or anything, but...
I used to drink a lot more socially, but then, like, I still drink socially now and then, but I found that... I just had that epiphany where I was like, when I drink alcohol, the drinks cost 3 times more, and I drink more of them. So, I don't drink as often now, because it's cheaper.
Well, it's also cheaper to drink at home.
That too. That's why I buy cider at the LCBO.
There you go.
What I can't buy is my new picture pick, because it's only available in Brazil right now.
Hey, is it something girlish?
No, it is Optimus Prime.
You ruined this whole show.
I know. He's 11 inches tall as well.
Yeah, he is.
Whoa. this is from that stuff that we were seeing, the more simple, child-friendly, but G1 referential Transformers line that apparently has found its way into release in Brazil. So this is the first in-hand report we've got of this guy. I think he looks super cool. The one bummer about the report is that it was also discovered he has no knees. Which is a shame, because he seems to have a very decent suite of articulation, right down to, like, ankle tilts, even. Like, and
extreme ankle tilts.
Yeah, friggin', like not the trash kind of ankle tilts. And I still wouldn't mind getting a hold of this guy for, like, a regular price, not some kind of crazy markup. But it is a bummer he doesn't have knees, because if he had, you know, it's like the old Armada Tidal Wave conundrum. That's a super cool toy. And if he could bend his knees, holy crap, he'd be a triple cool toy. But I think this, you know, the actual sculpt on this guy, the transformation, everything looks pretty cool. I'd love to mess with one sometime. It's neat that they're out somewhere. I really wonder how that came to be, that they are, like, out in Brazil. I'd like to know, because, I mean, this is a fully newly developed figure. It's got its own steel mold. It's not like a recolor just being squirted out for a market. You know, it's an actual toy. Seth, what do you think of Generations Cyber 11 Optimus Prime?
I'm wondering where Combiner Wars Tidal Wave is now.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Now that you invoke Tidal Wave, what, they're missing them.
Oh, literally.
Yeah. I didn't even realize I was doing that. No pun intended, but I wish
how,
it was.
That's
that
how been Tidal way more Wave. Clever. That's how Tidal Wave rolls, because he's... Well, I mean, Tidal Wave is friggin'...
Rolls on the wave, rolling over the wave.
He's the toppest tier. He just sneaks into your brain when you don't even realize it's happening.
Yeah. This thing, though, you know, looks okay. It's not up my cup of tea.
Yeah.
That's a phrase, right?
Not up your cup of tea.
Yeah, it's not up my cup of tea. Yeah, but, you know, it doesn't look terrible. if I have a kid in my life, like completely disregarding my niece and nephew.
Who are they anyway?
Yeah.
They've been kids for ages. They don't even
get over it already. if my nephew showed more interest in Transformers besides make this a vehicle because that's all I really care about, then maybe this would be something I'd get for him.
Yeah.
But I remember trolling that kid real bad when I got him. Man, what was that line of kid-friendly Transformers from a few years back? And, like, they had those, like, kind of, like, spring-loaded transformations.
Like the one-step? Oh, no, the Activators?
Was that it?
Activators was animated.
No, it wasn't animated.
And then they got one-step, which is, like, the current spring-loaded ones.
No, this was a few years back. I don't remember what the line was called.
Cybermorphers?
I don't remember. But it was a more simplified kid line a few years ago. And I got my nephew the Optimus Prime. And he only wanted it to be a truck. And then, like, I would hit the button and it would pop into robot mode. And then he'd, like, run over and turn it back into a truck. And then I'd wait for him to walk away and pop it back into a robot. And then, like, he'd start getting mad. He's like, no, this is supposed to be a truck.
Why does he like Transformers?
He doesn't. He likes cars and trucks.
Oh, and so getting him a car. He can't
care less about a robot.
Getting him a car that is able to be turned into not a car is just, like, a really effective way to mess with his, like, keeping order in his world.
Right. Excellent. Like, he did not want it to be a robot. He wanted it to be a truck because he likes trucks and he doesn't care about robots. And then, like, I put aside some of my older figures that I'm not really caring about anymore for when he comes over. It's like, okay, anything in this box you can mess with, everything else is hands off. And there's a couple Transformers in there and it's like, can you make this a car? And then I do. And then he just plays with the car.
That's so weird to me. But, I mean, that's
the kid loves cars and trucks and trains and anything that goes. If it's got an engine, he's into it. If he doesn't end up being a race car driver or something when he grows up, I don't know what's happening with this kid.
Corner him in his 30s and go like, you wasted it all.
You should have been in NASCAR by now.
What purpose do you even serve? And you throw a bunch of Transformers at him.
At least Formula E or something.
Anyway, yeah, Cyber 11 Optimus was found by a Canadian, actually, who happened to be in Brazil.
Weird.
Yeah. What? That was actually my favorite part of the story, because people were like, well, how'd you get that? He's like, well, I'm actually Canadian. I think he was Canadian. But I'm in Brazil for a family thing, and I saw this. And he's like, they have the Bumblebee, too. Should I go back and get it? And people were like, go get it! I don't know if he went and got it. But yeah, Ocinator on TFW 2005.
He went to get it and got kidnapped because Brazil. Wah, wah, wah.
Oh, dear. That's our new picture pick section.
You could afford two Transformers, then your family could afford Ransom.
Speaking of Ransom, we got yet another. Brazil. Yeah, wow.
This is worse than the time Daniel Bryant stepped on a Brazilian flag or whatever he got fired for back in the day.
I don't even remember. I'm going to talk about a toy that was in an egg.
BotCon Toys and Eggs
2015. They did their fourth. Their fourth reveal of the biggest toy in their set, the boss. And
that goofball, he knocked over the little, he was going to open the little egg. Oh, and he dropped the little egg.
Oh, what
that
are you?
Butterfingers.
I didn't
that even, wacky Butterfingers.
I was on a bus, so I fast-forwarded the video past that part.
Oh, you didn't see? He's like, we're going to open the little one and save the big one for last. Oh, I dropped it. I guess we'll open the big one then.
Oh, man, I'm sure glad I didn't see that. Well,
he's a Butterfingers.
The boss of this squad, and this is the toy that's using the Japanese retail exclusive Transformers Prime breakdown that never came out over here, is apparently Megatron. I saw the name tag and I sighed immensely because I was like, oh no, it's a Megatron. That's what I want. And apparently he's the movie Megatron, right?
Well, he's an alternate timeline movie Megatron.
He's a movie Megatron from a timeline where he mysteriously teleported behind Optimus Prime before he got his head axed. And then he was about to get killed by the newly risen Rodimus Prime and fell through a space bridge. So he's break down with a new head. And admittedly, it's a really nice looking new head that totally looks like Megatron.
Not only that, he was a Megatron that mysteriously teleported behind Optimus Prime and didn't get his head axed. And then spent, like, untold years sitting around waiting for Rodimus to come by and kick him down a space bridge.
Well, also, they say that he went to conquer Cybertron, and that kind of troubles me, because I'm like, Cybertron is, like, literally destroyed in the movie universe now.
Well, it's an alternate timeline.
But it was...
where Cybertron mysteriously teleported behind a space bridge.
It was destroyed before the confrontation on the... I know that movie, like, the back of my hand, let me tell you.
It mysteriously teleported. Get over it.
All right, it mysteriously teleported.
Nightcrawler came by
and he went bamf.
Yeah, and everything was cool.
Well, the deco on this guy
smelled like farts in Chicago for a while.
It's supposed to be the Dark of the Moon Megatron because he's got the grill on his chest. I think that's the unifying thing that made them decide to do this. So they did a vac metal thing on the grill, and they painted the back of the truck to look like it has a trailer, even though it doesn't. And they put dirt on him because it's Megatron when he's all dirty, and it looks fine. The head looks like a Megatron. It's a well done head. It's okay. He comes with three microns. One of them is scalpel. Another one is just like the Energon mace from G1. There's all these little bits and pieces that are totally fine. But the toy they're wrapped around is wrong. It is wrong completely. Especially because there's a version of that toy who has a head that's all messed up with a monocle. You could have just repainted that and he would have looked more like Movie Megatron. I hate to say this because the head that's done for him looks great as just a Megatron. But I would have rather seen that tooling gone into making him a little Igor sidekick figurine or something, if you're really going to go down this road. And in going down this road, you picked a dude whose silhouette just does not make me think Movie Megatron. And if I feel like this thing is aimed at, like, me and the, like, handful of other people who this could even be aimed at. And I feel like it missed the mark, honestly.
Well, in the video, he says they wanted to do something in between the movie and G1. For the head.
Yeah.
But
I mean, he leaned into it, you know? There's already a tooled head that is, as far as I know, ready to go that looks a lot more like... You could paint it to look a lot more like Movie Megatron. Because, you know, his head's all messed up by the time Dark of the Moon happens.
Yeah.
And I understand you could fictionally say, oh, he got fixed up. And that's fine, but you're erasing part of the visual identity of that character for me.
Yeah, well, they also pointed in the video that this mold was never available in the U.S.
Yeah.
You can only import it, which makes me kind of wonder if part of it wasn't like, hey, we could be the ones that bring this mold over, now we gotta figure out something to do with it.
Yeah, and I wish they'd...
Instead of, we're gonna do this weird alternate timeline Megatron, what's a good mold to use?
No, totally. I'm really sure this was like mold first, character second, and
right.
I wish a different character had been picked, because I just am not, I'm not seeing this, and I'm like one of the people who would most readily see this, and I don't feel like it's all there.
Now, in the past, for the BotCon sets, like, they would typically announce the theme first.
They mentioned a theme that it's like, it's a squad.
Yeah, so, like, I've been hearing some grumblings of people who are like, I don't even know what this theme's supposed to be. Like, there seems to be nothing connecting these characters. And now I'm wondering if it isn't, like, alternate realities. Because you got a Shattered Glass goon mixed in, and...
Yeah.
Could they all be, like, alternate reality or ultimate timeline characters?
Yeah, they mentioned that all these guys are in Axiom Nexus, which is the, you know, the dimension nexus outside of reality kind of place. And the initial poster was a kind of Guardians of the Galaxy-esque poster that was, you know, like, there's the boss and the muscle and the thief. And so I think that's supposed to be the theme, is that they're like a hit squad or something that live in Axiom Nexus doing stuff for hire. Which, I mean, I tell you that theme, if that doesn't resonate with you, there is, like, nothing else to that theme. Because it's just like, here's five guys who we're going to write fiction to why they work together.
Yeah, I don't want to rag on it too much, but so far I'm finding this set, like, really uninspiring.
I feel like they're not bringing up the theme enough, because, like, you're not the first person I've heard express that is there even a theme? And I mean, aside from the little like name tags, that's what
I'm
saying.
Like, I'm hearing a lot of people saying that, and
yeah,
so I'm questioning, like, is it all, they're all alternate reality, alternate slash timeline or whatever.
Yeah, it the fiction end of it would be the backbone, but I feel like, I don't know, it's weird because I don't want to rag on this thing either, because I mean, it's, that's like become this weird predictable thing to do now, but and I like Battle Trap a lot, but I don't feel like in these videos, I even feel like it's not really being communicated why any of these guys are working together. Like, just, I mean, they're reading the bios and that's cool, but yeah, it's I couldn't really stand up for this set if someone wants to know what the unifying theme is, because it's just like the first subscription service where it's like this assortment of characters who are somewhat unrelated fictionally now are all working together because of the thing we're writing. And I don't mind that as a trope, but it's also something you can't sell somebody on, because if you're going to sell someone on it, they have to also accept at face value that they're going to like the fiction you're writing.
Yeah. And then I was surprised that they didn't save one of the larger size class guys for the end, because that always seems to kind of be the way they do stuff, which makes me wonder, like, are they like really like counting on the fifth one to be like the one that's going to blow everybody's minds?
Maybe. They did say that like Megatron and the last one are both going to have new tooling, so they did save like the two new tooling ones for the end.
Yeah.
And I believe from that you know, that Skype chat where you saw them in the corner of a webcam, the last one looked like a blue Classics Bumblebee, which makes me think it's going to be Glyph with like a new gold buggy looking head.
Guess what? It wasn't.
Which I
the
think
the theme will be three of the characters are blue.
Nope. Oil Master.
Maybe. I mean, no. That was
mostly
a,
blue.
That was the fuzzy webcam shot, so who knows, right? Like, I'm gonna wait till they reveal whoever it is.
Oil Master.
Well, I joked on Twitter that I want the last egg to have Mork from Ork in it. So
Mork from Ork as a Transformer would be,
yeah, repaint Bumblebee as Mork, like red with a silver triangle on his chest.
All right,
that'd be amazing. I'd be like, all right, you guys sold me.
And then the
I don't
new
care
head.
About everything else in the box. I gotta find someone part selling the Mork, the Bumble Mork.
The new head is just an amazingly lifelike head sculpt of Mork from the TV show.
Yeah.
Stuck on Bumblebee.
If it was like a Hot Toys or Sideshow level of like realistic 1970s Robin Williams on a red Bumblebee with a silver triangle on his chest. Oh man, that would be the greatest.
He's even got
that,
like,
would be the greatest Transformer figure ever made.
He's got purrs, like you can pose the eyeballs and they've got like, yes, that weird glisten on them.
Oh man. Is it too late, if Pete Sinclair's listening, is it too late? Can we make this happen?
Yeah, I think that we just solved your problems, man. Like, we've unified the set. They're all on Mork. On Mork.
Or we have the linchpin for next year's combiner team.
Yeah, Mork and Mindy.
Not combiner team.
BotCon 2016, Mork and Mindy.
Well, it doesn't have to be Mork and Mindy. It could
Mork and Carly.
No, like, it could just all be Robin Williams characters.
Oh, man, the genie?
The genie, the
Patch Adams,
yeah, the Mrs. Doubtfire,
yeah,
and his character from what was that? Damn it, I forgot the name of the movie, but he played the homeless guy. It was the Terry Gilliam movie.
Oh,
Jeff Bridges.
I can't remember now.
I can remember everything about the movie except for the title.
And I'm usually good Garp. With Terry Gilliam titles. I don't know.
He
why.
Could be Garp. You can put Garp in there from World According to Garp.
But then, like, for the villain toy, it could be him from that horror movie where he was like the
1 hour photo.
Yeah, it's like the that's like the
he
villain
was great
figure.
In one hour photo. That movie was really good. God, yeah. He was so creepy in that movie.
That's like the villain of the set.
Yeah, that's the Decepticon.
Yeah, just hire Hot Toys to do the head sculpts, and then boom. And yeah, I just said just in there properly, just like on the internet.
That's all it takes. That's all you gotta do.
Just hire Hot Toys. Don't be lazy.
What are you? Amateurs? Act like you've been there before, man.
Yeah, holy crap. Give me some confidence. So we're gonna know the fifth figure in this set next week, I think. And then we'll know what the whole set is.
And it's not gonna be Mark, and we're all gonna be super bummed out.
Yep, because we just told you about a way cooler set than has ever been seen before. So, sorry.
Yeah. Mrs. Doubtfire is the female character, because you gotta throw one of them in now.
Yeah.
There's gotta be a girl one now.
Because, like, it would be next year, they could use, like, Combiner War stuff, and all the Robin Williamses could combine.
I'm trying to think what would be the most appropriate character to be the combine for him. His uncredited mime character from Shakes the Clown.
What if they combine into Zelda Williams?
That might be too dark.
Yeah, you're right. Anyway, I'm also tapping on my soundboard because it's doing that thing again, but I think I can still hear you. We'll have more to talk about with BotCon 2015 next week when we get the final reveal. Until then, we got a listener question from Sky Shark. Seth, you ready for Sky Shark's listener question?
I'm super ready.
All right.
I actually thought about this before we started recording, which I usually don't get a chance to do.
Yeah, we're running high quality this week.
I'm not saying I thought a lot about it.
But you thought about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. Sky Shark asks, greetings, Odd or Even team. I have a question regarding Transformers TV series, since Hasbro has given us two Transformers shows that are at younger viewers with Rescue Bots and Transformers RID 2K15. Do you think that, you know, 2K15, you could have just written the K as a zero.
No, that's the video game title. It's this year's RID game.
It's so dumb, though, because it's the same number of characters.
No, it's our annual sports-based Transformer game. 2K15 just came out.
TF2K15. Do you think that they should make, for older audiences, a show? Maybe even a TV adaptation of past IDW storylines? And as a second part for fun, what would each of you want to see in a hypothetical third-running series that was aimed at the older audiences? So, Seth, you've given this thought. What thoughts have you given it?
Well, I would want a more traditional 2D animation.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, you know, enhanced with computers or, like, that really good kind of flash animation that can be done. But I would like to see sort of like a redo, like a reimagining, a revamp of the G1 storyline. So kind of like what they tried to do with Thundercats, where you have the characters, you have the basic concepts, but it was a much more coherent storyline.
Yeah.
And like a much more thought out world. And like where G1 was kind of a lot of just flying by the seat of their pants, like whatever happens this episode happens, and maybe continuity works out later. Like, just a more thoughtfully thought out, nicely animated, not weird CGI kind of reimagining of G1 is something I'd be interested in. And then people are going to get upset with this answer because, you know, G1, but, you know, whatever. It was my answer. Answer your own answer. It's not going to happen anyway. So,
well,
and I mean, just like Thundercats, it will be a giant flop and be dead on arrival.
I mean, my answer would be kind of in line with. I think it would actually solve. It would give you what you want, and it would work in line with what Sky Shark's saying. If you strip out a lot of the really confusing crap, IDW's continuity can be turned into a pretty decent reimagined G1 story. They've got a solid science now for how stuff works. They've got some stuff that didn't work that's pretty easy to just shove under the carpet or leave out of an animated iteration. They've got good people working on some good world building. There's a very nice, like, science and societal history for the Transformers in the current comics. I think that would be a great place to draw from if you did want to do a show for older audiences. And I think that world building, at least, could fit a revamped G1 show if that was what they were going to do. I do think, speaking of someone who doesn't really want a revamped G1 show per se, if it is just going to be like a 13-episode thing, it would have to be something that is digestible. And the G1 pilot is a pretty digestible pilot, because it's a bunch of Transformers crash on Earth, and then a bunch of Decepticons crash on Earth, and now they're on Earth. Like, it's a pretty easy setup, and it doesn't take a whole lot of thought. A better setup, which takes more thought, would probably be better, but I can't think of one off the top of my head. But I think if you take the world building of IDW and go from there, and take some of the character bios and work from there, like, all that stuff could make for some decent television. Just make sure it's... I mean, you're going to have robot action, but it's got to be very character driven, I think, to be the mature Transformers series for older audiences. That's what makes the current comics so good, as far as I'm concerned, is how character and world building oriented they are. That's what sets them apart from being a toy commercial where a bunch of robots shoot at each other for 20 minutes. I like that stuff too. I'm not saying this bad, but
yeah. Well, like with the Thundercats and He-Man a few years earlier, like both of them had really nice animation and were clearly being written and done by people who grew up with the original stuff.
Yeah.
And people who really put a lot of thought into it. And where, you know, like G1 and He-Man and all this other stuff, they were seriously nothing but glorified toy commercials. Where there wasn't a lot of concern with continuity and storytelling. Besides, like, whatever, like, weak, thin moral lesson was sort of ham-fisted into the story so they could pawn it off as having some sort of educational value. Like at the end of G.I. Joe, where it's like, don't hide in an old refrigerator. Now it's educational. G.I. Joe. That's what those PSAs were for, so they could skirt around this loophole.
Mm-hmm.
Or skirt through a loophole. But anyway. But then, like, with that Thundercats and He-Man series, now it's people who grew up with that stuff who invested in the fiction and tried to create something much more connected and a higher level of storytelling. And I would like to see that with a Transformer thing, even if it's not like a straight up G1 remake.
Mm.
Like, well, I kind of felt like there was some of that in Animated.
Yeah.
Like, I really liked Animated. Animated was the last and really the only Transformer show since G1 that I really got into.
Well, what all these shows have in common is the stuff I was talking about. They focus, I mean, they had their action, but in an overarching sense, they also focused a lot on character building and world building. And, I mean, especially He-Man and Thundercats, like the new versions of those. Like, He-Man, as far as, I haven't watched all of it, but I've read a lot about it. It was practically building mythology around some of the stuff that was happening in it. Thundercats, too. And I think that's what Animated did real, on maybe not a mythological level, but Animated built a lot of world-built society history stuff. Like, there was a great war, and there was, like, history to it being revealed. And what IDW is doing right now, when it's at its best, is building a lot of that history and a lot of that societal stuff, and, like, how these immortal shape-shifting alien robots actually function when they're not just punching each other in the face.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the crux of, to me, that's the crux of I want the mature version of this children's cartoon, is, all right, we'll add in personality and world building if it's not already there. That's the first ingredient. That's easily the first ingredient, well before, like, we're gonna have a robot get cut in half and he's gonna be alive all the way till the blade goes through his brain!
Although, yeah, well, that should be in there too. I'm not even looking for, like, the grim, dark, adult robot gore version.
I want to see a robot cleft in twain from crotch to forehead.
Okay, well, that's your crazy murder version. You're looking for the movies.
Hey, guess what? They made me four of those, so maybe I should be happy.
Yeah, you're just trying to get more movies.
Yep. But yeah, I think that's kind of the crux of, I think, what most people would get the most out of world building. Seth, we also got a question from Lumpy, and it references a recent event, so I thought we should bump it up because it's something you and I have actually both talked about when we weren't recording.
Okay.
There's other silly stuff in here. There's silly stuff here too. But
so pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Hit me.
listener question from Lumpy. Says, hello, Vangel is master of Vangel Mania and Seth the Giant. I've got a few questions for you, fine gentlemen.
So, yes, wrestling.
First, did you guys enjoy WrestleMania this year?
Well, I didn't even see this listener question. I didn't refresh the post. I just said that, like, really kind of
flippantly.
Yeah. Wow, I'm a genius. I think I have psychic powers.
You should throw some frisbees into the crowd with poems written on them. Lumpy goes on to say, because he's about WrestleMania, he says, quote, I thoroughly enjoyed the pre-show in the first 2 hours, but felt the second 2 hours were underwhelming except the ending. I'm a Seth Rollins guy for sure. Overall, I'd say it was a B+ counting the pre-show matches and a B- with that. So we don't have to go on forever about this, and we also talked about it a couple weeks ago during an intermission break. But Seth, did you enjoy WrestleMania this year?
Yeah, I thought it was tons of fun. The run-up to it felt pretty flat, but the actual show itself I thought was really fun. I didn't see much of the Seth Rollins Randy Orton match because I don't care about Randy Orton. Like, he does nothing for me.
You saw the end though, right?
Yeah, because I saw the end part. But for the majority of that match I was in the kitchen, which is still like within earshot of the TV. And, you know, just lean back a little bit. I could still see the TV if I needed to. But I spent just about the entire time in the kitchen getting her snacks prepared.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just thought it was fun and entertaining and crazy stuff happened and it was cool.
I was gonna read up on what happened. Cause I don't actually watch wrestling that much. I kind of, like, watch stuff after it happens to just see all the funny bits. But I had nothing to do on Sunday and I got links through Twitter to illegal streams of WrestleMania, so I watched it illegally. Not in the best quality. There were a gajillion streams of it all over the place. I would have watched it on WWE Network if I could have gotten WWE Network without being a cable subscriber, but I can't currently do that in Canada, and I'm too lazy to figure out some way to stuff an American IP into a thing. Or I want to do it the right way, so I'm either going to do it the right way or do it illegally. But if people don't know what I'm talking about with the ending of that thing, and if you're not someone who's ever watched this stuff, I'll just explain the cool part. So this guy, he has this big move he does where he, like, grabs your head and then, like, falls forward holding your head and your head hits his shoulder. So the guy he's fighting has this move where he, like, jumps onto the back of your head and stomps your head down, and, like, that's his big move. So he goes to do his big move.
That's Seth Rollins.
That's Seth Rollins' big move, the curb stomp. The curb stomp.
So he goes to... I'm hearing rumors that the WWE is banning the curb stomp and he's not going to be able to do it anymore.
Well, then at least it got a cool swan song, because, like, he goes to do it, and then with, like, perfect timing, Randy Orton, who's going to get curb stomped, like, just stands up, catapults Seth Rollins, like, 6 feet into the air from where he already was standing, about 4 feet on top of a guy's head. And then jumps up, catches him, and does his finishing move where he grabs his head and drops it onto his shoulder.
Right, and Rollins is doing a flip to get his head into position for Orton to turn around, leap up, and grab in the air. They must have practiced that over and over again.
It was
because if one guy was slightly off, it wasn't going to look good, or someone was going to get really, really hurt.
Yeah,
and they both did an incredible job.
That was one of the coolest bits of, like, live stunt choreography I've ever seen. Like, you know, in the last, like, brief memory of, you know, a couple weeks or whatever. But still, it was, like, super cool. It was actually the coolest thing that I saw for the entirety of that event. Partly because the illegal stream qualities were deteriorating rapidly over the course of the, like, 15 hours of the show. I'm exaggerating. But I also thought it was kind of a high point because nothing else really grabbed me like that moment grabbed me. And I was also just... the other thing I was waiting for was the two spooky guys were going to fight, The Undertaker and Bray Wyatt. And I was like, give me some crazy spooky pageantry. And, like, there was a little bit, but I felt like The Undertaker... I thought he was going to show up on, like, a golden chariot or something, or he's going to be all dressed in white, or there's going to be columns of light or something, or, like, you know, the arena would explode. And he just sort of walked out, and I was like, eh.
Yeah, one of the big problems was it was still daylight.
Yeah, I was...
when they got to that match.
When I realized they were in an outdoor arena for the whole thing, I suddenly was, like, dreading. I was like, oh, no, you can't do a cool Undertaker thing if there's no roof.
Yeah, my problems with that were it seemed like Undertaker was overselling. Like, I've always liked Undertaker as the dude that you gotta wail on for days for him to just go down to one knee. And then when you do get him on his back, he sits up. Like, I've always liked the more kind of indestructible Undertaker, where in this match it seemed like he was on the ropes 90% of the time.
Yeah, they were trying to tell a story, and I don't think they pulled it off, of him being both weakened and Bray Wyatt being the other powerful, like, crazy, dark, spooky guy. Yeah. And then, like, so they tried to tell that, and it felt kind of weird. Then Bray Wyatt does this weird spider walk thing to get up, and then Undertaker sits up and stares at him, and then Bray Wyatt, like, falls sideways, and he's like, ah! And I was like, well, now you're just making him look like a dummy, and I don't get what the story of this is, because then the Undertaker just beats him. And I'm like, well, what? I felt really unfulfilled after that.
Yeah, well, and then there's been reports that Bray had, like, really kind of messed up his ankle or his foot just a couple days earlier, and was in, like, a soft cast until immediately before the match.
I think it was that morning I heard that he, like, sprained his ankle or something.
I think it was a day or two.
Yeah, it was recent. Ahead.
But, yeah, it was very close. So there may have been some restructuring of the match to work around Bray's injury. But then in the aftermath of WrestleMania, there's been no real mention of The Undertaker. He hasn't shown up again.
Yeah.
He's never spoken. Like, he didn't address Bray before, except for just, like, on a monitor. It said, a man comes around. Or the man comes around, whatever it said. He didn't speak during WrestleMania, and he hasn't spoke since WrestleMania. And now Bray Wyatt's doing the same promos he did against The Undertaker, where he's on a monitor talking to somebody, but not letting you know who he's talking to.
Yeah, it's a...
And he's referring to himself as the new face of fear. And it's like, well, how did you become the new face of fear when you lost?
Yeah. Like, okay, so I have a huge bias towards, like, crazy magic necromancers in wrestling, because I think it's a perfect fit. It's, like, the perfect mix of, like, ridiculous, but you suspend your belief because it's so, like, ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, and I knew this wasn't going to happen, but I figured, whatever, I'll set myself up for something completely unreasonable. What I wanted to see was, I wanted Bray Wyatt to, like, just barely beat The Undertaker, and then The Undertaker, like, gets on the mic, or he just starts speaking over the PA, and he's like, you want the power of the dark, you must also take the power of the light. And, like, he, like, shoots lasers or something into Bray Wyatt and, like, turns him into the new Undertaker, but he's, like, got the power of dark and light, so he's, like, wearing, like, a white coat or something, or, like... I don't know. I wanted him to, like, shoot his power into Bray Wyatt, and then Bray Wyatt is all like, I'm Satan, would, like, the twist would be that he's, like, filled with the power of good and evil, and he's like, no! That's how I would have done it.
Yeah. Well, I think, like, both Bray and Dean Ambrose were guys who were, like, right on the edge of being main event dudes, and they did main event a pay-per-view a year or so ago. And now it seems like they don't know what to do with either of them. Like, Dean Ambrose is doing nothing right now, and yeah. Bray's just talking to a camera. I'm hoping when they decide to move Finn Balor up to the main roster, I would really like to see Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt in, like, a spooky guy battle.
Yeah.
Finn's not like, I'm a wizard. Like, he's not spooky like that.
Yeah.
But his entrance is a little creepy, the way he comes out. And then when he comes out with the makeup, like, where when he has to, like, tap into the demon, which one of the things I really like with Finn is he doesn't do the crazy makeup every single match. It's for when it's needed.
It's when he powers up. That's right. The kind of, like, again, that's the kind of stuff I like, because it's like, he's not actually powering up, but, like, it's so ridiculous that it's like, yeah, I want to believe the dude, like, has, like, a Venom symbiote he activates when he really has to beat some guy up.
Yeah, like, I want to see Bray attacking him over and over and over again, and then, like, losing to Bray in, like, one pay-per-view, and then the next pay-per-view, he finally puts the makeup on, and then finally wins. Like, I think that would be a really cool program for those two guys.
Yeah. Just, I like it when they have one or two characters who have, like, you know, they have displayable superpowers. Like, in Japan, there's a guy called Jushin Liger, who's, like, this guy who'd wear, like, a nearly, like, full costume and a mask and stuff, like a dragon head. And then there was this thing where he's getting beaten up by this bad guy pseudo-demon dude called the Great Muta, and then Jushin Liger, like, got his mask ripped off, and it's like, oh no, we've never seen his face. And he gets up, and he, like, tears his shirt off, and his skin is, like, painted, like, solid white, and he's got, like characters on his pecs, and he, like, starts spitting acid and stuff. because he like turned into evil Jushin Liger because he got pushed too far. And like stuff like that. It's like, that's so freaking cool. Like it's really dumb, but it's like, that's the side of that stuff that I like the most, when it hits like this level of not even trying to convince you it's real, just assuming you're along for the ride kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. My roommate went to WrestleMania because, you know, it was like an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
And accidentally shook Booker T's hand. By accidentally, I mean, it's not like he was like, wait a minute, why is this dude holding my hand? But like, he wasn't on a mission to shake anybody's hand. He was trying to get to the bathroom, and then Booker T was coming through the area, like surrounded by bodyguards, like pushing everybody out of the way. And Booker's just like shaking hands of whoever is within reach as he's going by. And so my roommate's standing there, like waiting to get to the bathroom. And then here comes Booker T sticking his hand out, and he's like, oh, okay. Just like, it's my time. That was cool. I shook Booker T's hand. That was awesome. I wasn't even planning on it.
Did you tell him the handshake was fake afterwards?
Yeah, it was a work.
Yep. But yeah, that's all I really have. Like that,
Booker the other... bladed during the handshake.
Why? Ew.
Why is your forehead bleeding?
I thought you meant he like bladed his palm and then like shook his hand with blood all over his hand.
Oh, maybe that too.
That's just gross. I don't have much else to say other than like, I thought the Terminator entrance was bunk, and like,
it was silly.
After all that stuff I just said of how willing I am to see really dumb stuff, the Terminator entrance went like, it's the perfect example of that kind of dumb stuff where I don't think it works.
Yeah, it was so dumb because, okay, so Triple H is wearing, like, a chromed-up version of his Shao Kahn mask.
But with, like these really funny-looking, like, chintzy metal armatures over his shoulders, too.
Yeah, so they come up through the floor, like, Triple H and a bunch of Terminator's exoskeletons, and then they keep going up. So now they're on pedestals way up in the air. I'm like, well, now what are they going to do? They're all in the sky. And then it like, then there's like dudes in like military uniforms with Terminator masks on.
Yeah. And
then apparently those were all NXT guys.
And they brought Triple H 3 bushels of Terminator endoskeleton skulls.
Right. And then I'm questioning like, okay, so is Triple H a Terminator or is he killing Terminators? Because it looked like he was a Terminator, but now he... I don't know what's happening.
The best part of it. This is all
cross marketing synergy.
The best part of it, the only thing that saved it for me was the broadcast, for whatever reason, kept cutting back to his opponent in the ring, Sting, who had the best expression on his face the whole time, where he just looked like really confused and unimpressed and like, what are you doing?
Well, he was probably still confused from his entrance when he was like, why did I have Japanese drummers? Like, there's nothing about my character.
It was just this fantastic way of like hamstringing their own drama when they have this really stupid looking Terminator entrance, and then they keep cutting to the other guy who ostensibly is supposed to be intimidated by this, and he's like, what are you doing? Why are you wearing a plastic skull on your head? Anyway,
I don't know.
That's all the WrestleMania talk I think we should do for now.
Yeah.
Question number two. Lumpy wants to know if I could body slam you like the classic confrontation between Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. So let's just say yes, and we'll never have to prove it.
Okay.
Number three. There's a Cybertronian Wrestling Federation. Which robots do you think would make great superstars?
Bulkhead.
Yeah, I guess so. I was thinking about who would be good on the mic.
Oh.
Omega Supreme.
Well, that's based on your version of
yes, it is
Omega Supreme.
I was gonna add that, but I didn't know if it needed saying or not.
Good on the mic. I don't know. Blur talks fast.
He just talks really fast. You don't know what he's saying. Then, like, his buddy just hits you with a chair in the back of your head while you're trying to listen.
A Wheelie would be like the genius of the Cybertronian Wrestling Federation. Coming out, rhyming, making poems, throwing frisbees, I guess.
Yeah, with a slingshot.
Yeah, oh, Jazz. Jazz would be dope on the mic.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Throw in, I don't know, like, throwing Swerve from IDW, he'd be a good manager. Trash talking short little guy. Lumpy has a fourth question that is just about Transformers, which is with MP Star Saber now being a reality and the possibility of Victory Leo someday to go with him, which is an assumption based on the clips that exist, and with him effectively being the G1 toy with additional joints, do you think that we could see additional non-US characters added to the Masterpiece line? Lumpy would love to see Overlord and Deathsaurus someday, but is curious what other characters you guys would like to see. I think that we should just focus on Victory Leo for now. Star Saber doing so well, I think, is not unprecedented, but maybe vaguely unprecedented. And I think that there's nothing to say until Victory Leo happens. I am pretty sure Victory Leo will happen. I don't know if we'd be able to go anywhere past that. I guess it depends on how Victory Leo does. Especially if they are able to do another run of Star Saber and sell it out, you know, in light of Victory Leo. I would love to see Lio Kaiser and Road Caesar and all those other Victory guys. Like, I think really, I'd just like to see the Victory guys, because they would make for really cool Brave-esque toys. Overlord would be neat too. Like, Master Force is no laughing matter. But Victory, I think, like, if they just did Victory in Masterpiece, I think that would be a great focus, a great place to concentrate if they're able to afford to do these non-80s G1 guys. But these later G1 guys. Seth, what do you think about non-US characters in Masterpiece, like Road Rage and Exhaust?
Well, I would just have to say my favorite Japanese-only character, Sky Gary, would be my pick.
Yes.
And it's not going to happen, but I'd be down for a Masterpiece Sky Gary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sky Gary, the Gary of the skies.
There are still Death Gary guns on Big Bad, I think. That's the red Brave version of Sky Gary.
Uh-huh.
For those who don't know. But yeah, I think we really got to see what happens with Victory Leo. That's the next goal to look at. There's nowhere really to look past that, I think, until it's announced. But Lumpy goes on to say, thank you for your time, professional wrestling referee Lumpy. I don't know if that's true.
I don't either.
But if it is, that's pretty neat. You know what? We can check. We'll just throw a chair at him and see what happens.
Well, if he's a good ref, he'll take it.
Yeah.
And so, then not regain consciousness until after the good guy pinned the heel.
Yeah.
Or after the baby face pins the heel, but then there's no ref to count.
No, he'll wake up after that, and then the bad guy throws salt in the good guy's face. Or, like, hits him with, like, a lead pipe.
Sledgehammer.
That was the one other thing. I loved the part when dude hit the sledgehammer with the baseball bat and split the sledgehammer, and then Triple H was all like, "Oh, my sledgehammer!" That was really cute. That was pretty
Steve
silly.
Austin made a great point about the finish of that match. So Triple H wins by hitting Sting in the head with the sledgehammer head, and then everybody gets in the ring, and they're kind of squared off, and then Triple H is like, nah, it's cool, I got this. And then goes over and him and Sting shake hands, like in this sign of like good sportsmanship, and we're all cool now. And then on Steve Austin's podcast, he was like, I don't buy it. If somebody just hit me in the face with a sledgehammer to win, I sure as hell ain't going to shake their hand afterwards. I'd probably kick him in the stomach and hit him with a stunner.
Yeah, there was a whole lot about the end of that thing that I could go on about, but I'm going to resist. I just like the part when the sledgehammer got split by the baseball bat, because that felt like a really, like, well-intentioned, really silly thing that was kind of funny to see. But I couldn't buy into the drama of it. I was just like, ha ha ha. It was like the equivalent of in Spaceballs when the two lightsabers, like, curl up around each other and they have to, like, pull them apart. That's, I don't know, that's how it felt to me, like, that kind of moment. Like, this is pretty dumb. Anyway, that's our listener question segment. We've got an intermission now, and then we're going to come back afterwards and talk about things we got this week here on WTFTFW. So stay tuned for that, and also stay tuned for this.
Wow, take it away and unbelievable right there. What are you, a head waiter? Huh? Don't unbelievable things happen.
Could be.
Now, here's what it goes. Tito Santana, 1986. Hulk Hogan, 1986. Winning the belts from you is going to be easier than this. Taking candy away from a baby. Unbelievable. I could take all the candy and pour it on your head right now. But I ain't gonna. I'm gonna pour it over mine. Because I ain't got no dignity. No, I don't. Not when it comes to winning a World Heavyweight Championship belt. Aren't I something, man? Did you see me out here putting candy on my head?
All right, we're back. We got to stop talking about wrestling. Seth, we can't talk about... I got a baseball bat and I'm pointing it right at your chin. All right?
I'm... acting like it's a gun.
Don't make me pull the trigger on the baseball bat.
Don't pull the trigger on the baseball bat. Whatever. I'll give you all my money.
You don't want to see what happens. Oh, yeah. Just dump your wallet out right
just
there.
Just don't hurt me.
Dump it out. And you know what? I'm going to keep this bat pointed at you until I see you around the corner over there.
Oh, my God. Just stop. Please. I have a family.
All right. I'm just kidding. It's not a real baseball bat. It's not loaded.
Was it one of them football bats?
Blanks in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Seth, we're gonna talk about what we got this week, Transformers wise.
All right.
Did you get anything this week that you want to talk about?
I did. Whoa! Well, I didn't get anything this week. Last time, I had just gotten a big bad box and I hadn't had time to open anything. Mm-hmm. And then I got busy/lazy.
Yeah.
And so I opened Air Raid, but I didn't open the rest of the Stunticon guys.
Okay.
I'm going to do all them later. But I wanted to at least get Air Raid open, finish my Superion.
Yeah.
Air Raid's cool.
I like him a lot.
Yeah, he's got cool shape to his jet mode. I really like the kind of, not really tricky white robot black jet deal. And then put Superion together. And, I remember when we were first seeing pictures of these, I was like, I don't know, Superion looks like garbage. He looks dumb. Who cares about Superion anyway?
Yeah.
But he looks actually really awesome standing here on my desk looking at me yeah, now what?
Yeah. He's like, I heard you talking. You got anything to say now?
Yeah. Why don't you say it to my face, punk?
Yeah, I was real jazzed to get Air Raid.
You're not talking now because you're in Furion. That's your name.
Where would you put? I don't know if you have it all set in your head, but where would you put Air Raid amongst the main Superion guys, compared to the other limbs?
Well, Alpha Bravo is he's in a class by himself.
Yeah, yeah.
He's far and away above everybody else. And now I've got the names a little mixed up. Who's the mostly gray guy?
That's Skydive.
I really like the color combination of Skydive. The grays and the red chest.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'd have to take... I had all the others already, assembled in the mostly finished Superion. I'd have to pull them apart and, look at them, all individual, side by side, to really judge.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't. I think not counting Alpha Bravo, just the three jets, I think is a really close tie between those two.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out if it's new toy smell or not, but I think I like Air Raid the most just as a toy between all four limbs. Alpha Bravo's character is something that I've built into something I kind of like, but compared to the other two jets, especially something about Air Raid, it feels like he has the best tolerances. I didn't have to do anything to him. I tightened his hips just out of habit because they become part of an elbow, but he felt great to me.
The way the legs close up to put him into jet mode.
Mm-hmm.
I was having some trouble getting those parts to line up properly. In jet mode, they would kind of move, and then there'd be a gap, and I kind of try to squish them back into place, and then they'd just pop out again.
Yeah.
So I have to fiddle with it some more. Maybe I just didn't have something closed up right, or there's some flash or something keeping them popping open. I don't know. I got to mess with it more and see if it's something I could fix or whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, but it wasn't perfect out of the box, though.
You better start complaining, and then I, get your online petition to something, or I don't...
Yeah, start a movement.
Superion's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, he came out way better than I thought he was going to be from those early pictures we saw.
Yeah. And I don't know if you listened to last week's, but I got a little bit of...
I did listen to last week's. Oh my gosh.
Okay, well then and, I got some good news.
I love how you keep sort of being salty about the Twitter questions. I chuckle every time, and I'm sorry that they're done.
I know, we've run out. I'm not saying send in new ones, because that was one magical moment. And it gave a whole lot of fuel, but 3 weeks later, we've run out of that fuel.
Well, it cracked me up the first episode when you were presented with all the questions, and you're like, I seem to remember saying, don't do this. And Aaron's just like, whatever, I do what I want.
I'm Aaron. But yeah, the good news I was going to tell you is that in person, Menasor is way less of a like funny looking thing than he has been in a lot of photos.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to get them together, and then I have to decide if I want to buy that third party pants for them.
I don't think that they're necessary. Like, and I've not modified the hips on mine at all, but like, just don't do the stock hips. Just play around with them, and it's pretty easy to find a way of swiveling them around where they stay solid, and he actually looks like he has a skeleton in his hips.
Well, my plan is to put them together straight, like the directions say, and then fiddle with it from there.
That's what I did.
And then look at pictures of the pants and make a decision.
Yes. Decide about the pants. Yeah, the feedback thread also is pretty good. There's a lot of people who were pleasantly surprised by Menasor. Even some people who ended up liking him more than Superion, and they have been working round the clock to figure out new and better ways to assemble his legs together. So, it's a good feedback thread. It's worth checking out. But, aside from Air Raid and completing your Superion, anything else on your end?
Not on topic.
Okay, well, I got one on-topic thing before we go drifting off into...
And this also lets me spread out what I got.
Yes.
So, I'm sure I will be talking about Menasor and the Stunticons next time.
Next time on... Na-na-na-na-na. Well, I got something that was hanging out in customs for 4 days and then said delivery address error, and I was like, oh no. But then it got delivered a few days later. And that is a new Mastermind Creations piece called Cynicus. I'm going to dig up some photos I took of him in a pretty cool pose. But Cynicus is the first of the Decepticon Justice Division that is being done by Mastermind Creations in their reformatted line. So he's Voss, the smallest member of the DJD from the current comic books. He's a little assassin guy with a sniper rifle, and then he turns into a bigger sniper rifle. And as a toy, the robot mode on this guy is friggin' like poseable. Like, it's one of the nicest poseable action figures just in general that I have messed with in a long time. A lot about the way his joints work feel really good. He's also got these really long feet, and then he's got like insane ankle tilts attached to them, so he can assume a lot of poses and not fall over. Like, he stays standing pretty solidly. But then the pose I put him in that I was really happy with, here, I'll send you 3 Twitter links to pictures. I got him into a proper, like, prone on his belly sniper pose using the bipod on his sniper rifle. And I was really happy with it. And it's an example of how, like, this guy, like, he can do other poses, but the fact that he's a robot action figure that can get into a decent-looking sniping pose made me real happy. The alt mode that he has, where he turns into a big gun, it's pretty cool. The transformation's kind of weird because there are not a lot of, like, thin, gangly little robots who turn into sniper rifles. So once you do it, it's a pretty easy transformation, but it's pretty finicky, and it doesn't do anything that you're likely to have seen done before in his torso. So it can get a little confusing if you haven't seen someone else do it for you. I'm actually going to film a transformation instructional for him, because I think that might save a lot of people some trouble when they reach the instruction book, which tries real hard, but it just isn't gonna... I don't think it is helpful, because it doesn't get across how you have to use a little bit of, like, pressure and force on stuff that immediate, like at first glance and first touch does not feel like it's supposed to be subject to that. So I want to make a video to show, like, all right, you can pull on this part and it shouldn't break. And hopefully it won't break for someone when they do. But I like his gun mode. The problem with it is it comes with a handle adapter so that Feral Rex can hold him, and that works. But it also has all these pegs all over it. And they're pegs that start off as a thinner peg and then have a 5mm kind of base, so they get thicker. The smaller peg size is supposed to work with Mastermind's Azalea figures, like all their RC redecos. I can't get any of them to actually hold the handles. The handles keep popping out of their hands because their hands are so small. So that doesn't really work. The thicker 5mm handles are so far up the pegs, and there's so much stuff around them. So far, I've not found a toy that can actually use them. So I'm sure that there is one, but for now, like, my friend Hard Return Ian Reed, who got his, put it pretty well that currently this guy turns into a really nice looking sniper rifle that no one can actually hold. And that's kind of a bummer. I'm not sure precisely what would have helped, because even if those pegs were like bigger and thicker, there's a lot of stuff going on. I've gotten toys to like hold the sniper rifle, but they're not like pegged into holding the sniper rifle. And he turns in, he's a bit of a tall, spindly deluxe. So he's like 5.5-6 inches tall in robot mode. He turns into a pretty big gun, so a lot of smaller toys can't really hold him anyway. So it's kind of weird. It's the right alt mode. It looks good. The transformation's fine. The robot mode is immaculate and really fun to play with. But I think that the alt mode's functionality being kind of currently to the current knowledge base kind of limited means that unless you like just want a really cool like looking posable robot that looks like this, if you have no attachment to the comics and you don't really know about what you're seeing, there's not much to tell you. And unfortunately, he was meant to be like a $60-65 toy. The factory he was made at charged a lot more, and so the current pre-orders for him are running at $85. That is a rough pill to swallow if you don't know who the character of Voss is. And it's a bummer to say, because I think it's a really well-made toy, and I think it's a bummer that a manufacturing end thing has messed up his MSRP for the upcoming run. Because I'm really excited to see the rest of the DJD done like this. This is a really good Voss. He comes with like an alternate head and a face, so you can mimic how he takes his face off, and his removed faceplate grows spikes and drills so he can like shove it into other people's faces. It turned out real well. I just hope that pricing issue can be solved before they put out the next one, who is going to be the guy who turns into an electric chair with tank treads on the bottom. Seth, I know you're not keeping up with the comics, but what do you think of my sniper pose? I was real proud of it.
Yeah, it's really good when a figure has a specific kind of weapon, and then they can be posed with that weapon well.
Yeah.
Like, it bugs me when, like, a figure comes with, like, this clearly two-handed rifle, and then you can't get their arms around in a realistic way to hold the rifle with two hands.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's really rotten. So
on the bright side,
it's like, a damn good thing the sniper rifle robot can do a good sniper rifle pose.
Yeah. On the bright side, if somehow he couldn't, you can actually pull the back of the sniper rifle off, and it's just like a big pistol.
Mm-hmm.
So he would have a pose he could, you know, an accessory he could pose with if somehow he wasn't able to use the sniper rifle. But that kind of beelined right into like, all right, can you actually use the full sniper rifle with the bipod? And it works pretty well on him. But yeah. That's all I really got to say about that guy. And Seth, I don't know if I have much else I can really bounce off you, because you haven't read the comics he's in.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think about a spindly sniper who just turns into a bigger sniper rifle? Would you do it?
It seems, I don't know. That seems weird. Like, I could snipe this dude, but my sniper rifle's not powerful enough. So I have to turn into a bigger, more powerful sniper rifle and then rely on somebody to be a good sniper.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems a little weird
character-wise. in his sniper rifle mode, I want to like play pretend that he's able to like kind of pivot up and down a bit himself, so he gets the advantages of the bigger bullet, but he doesn't need to be wielded. That's how I kind of am playing it in my head anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's all I got on topic. So Seth, let's go into your off topic stuff. I have a feeling I know what one of them is, and it's a thing that I've readily been talking about for 2 weeks now. So
Boy. Well, I'm going to save that then. Make you wait.
Dang it.
First, Marvel.
Marvel Legends? I've never heard of
that. Yeah, I got more Marvel guys.
All right.
So I was like really on the fence about the Thanos wave.
I hear you.
Because there's a lot of figures in there where it's like, do I need another Iron Man? And do I need another Captain America? And it's like, Spider-Woman's cool. Like, Hellcat is going to be in the Jessica Jones Netflix series in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that she has a costume and is called Hellcat at some point and isn't just some lady. But we were at Target and they had, like, everything on the shelf. And then when you see the whole wave together, and it's like, well, I can just get them all.
Yep.
Then that happened.
So. That's what the big bad listings always do to me, because they do that for the listings of like, hey, here's the whole wave.
Well, I was looking at the whole wave on Big Bad, and I think not seeing it in person made it easier to be like, yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to order it.
Yeah.
But then seeing it all in person, I was like, I just put all these in the shopping cart and...
Yeah, you feel like you won.
Then give the guy at the counter a whole bunch of money.
you feel like you won, because you get to take them all home and rip them all open, and then you got Thanos too. And
well, the Captain America comes with like all the hands and unmasked Steve Rogers' head that Winter Soldier Captain America came with. Which on one hand is a little like, oh great, all these reused parts, but also kind of good. Because he came with, like, some cool hands.
Mm.
Like, he comes with one hand that's just flat, open fingers, like, altogether fingers. So he could do a really good salute. And also a hand with a pointing finger. So you could have him poking dudes in the chest. Or sticking one finger in the air because he's number one. Or putting it up to his lips as though he's going, shh.
Don't talk. I'm America.
Or I took one picture that I then thought, maybe I shouldn't put this on Twitter because I think it's hilarious and it's a reference to an episode of Fawlty Towers, which you can get Captain America in, where in Fawlty Towers, John Cleese gets bonked on the head pretty good.
Oh! Okay, I know where you're coming from. Yeah.
And there's some Germans staying at the hotel.
That episode, like, really cracked me up the first time I saw it, like, way, way back in, like, high school.
My
favorite episodes.
Yeah, my family took a trip to Death Valley. And there happened to be a large German tour group in the area. So we were just constantly running into Germans everywhere we went.
Mm-hmm.
And it became this total in-joke amongst the family. Every time there was Germans around, we would whisper to each other, don't mention the war.
Only...
With the pointing finger and the flat fingers out hand,
yeah,
you could reenact that scene from Fawlty Towers.
It's only partly related, but in high school, we did a band trip to Cuba, and my mom came along as a chaperone. First time she ever came along as a chaperone on any kind of school trip ever. And the first place we stayed in Cuba, a huge group of German tourists were staying there, too. And they kept wanting to just hang out with my mom because she was German, and they were a bunch of classic German tourists who were just looking for more German things, but elsewhere in the planet. And my mom...
That sounds like Americans when they go somewhere, so I guess.
My mom got so tired of them. So fast. It was hilarious. She was like, I didn't come to Cuba to talk to a bunch of Germans.
Well, when I went to the Grand Canyon, we drove down so we could just go wherever we wanted. But there were tour buses, and they would go from vista point to vista point, and we were driving, so we were on our schedule, and we kind of slotted in between two tour groups.
Mm-hmm.
So we would get to a vista point as a group of French tourists were getting back on their bus. and then we would be leaving as a busload of Germans would show up. So we thought it was hilarious that it seemed like the Germans were chasing the French all around the Grand Canyon.
Also, for reference to listeners who might be wondering why the Cuba store is anything, my mom is German. That's why the German tourists were gravitating towards.
I knew that, but listeners might.
I just realized it might have sounded real weird if my mom wasn't German. She's like, I don't want to talk to Germans.
Also, if anybody's getting upset, Canadians could go to Cuba and it's not a deal.
Yes.
Unlike America, where you might get arrested.
Well, isn't it like now not a deal for Americans?
I think it's easier, but you still can't just go to Cuba for no reason.
You have to like provide a reason and
apply
for it, I guess.
Yeah, and you could before. Like, there were ways to go to Cuba if you really, really wanted to. You could get there, but you had to jump through a bunch of hoops and convince them. Or you could sneak over through Canada, but then when you came back, there was a chance you'd get arrested.
The guy would be like, so, good trip, huh?
Yeah. So what you do in Canada? Jumped on an airplane, went to Cuba. Oh, yeah?
You're under arrest. But you think you're a real smart guy, huh?
Yeah. I would like to go to Cuba. Either before everything gets cool with the U.S. and then U.S. companies come rushing in and wreck it, or immediately after everything gets cool with the U.S. before a bunch of U.S. companies rush in and wreck it.
Basically before Pizza Hut shows up there. You want
right. Yeah, before I got to get there before McDonald's.
Yes.
Because I've watched a bunch of shows where they've gone to Cuba. And, you know, it's not like this wonderland, but, like, there's some really cool-looking stuff. Like, before all the old cars from the 50s are gone, and before they start tearing down these amazing old buildings to make room for malls.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I went in 2000.
Resort hotels.
I went in 2001, and we got to go to a lot of the place, because there are parts of Cuba that, you know, they were made for tourists. But we got to go to a lot of the parts that weren't made for tourists. And, like, yeah, it's not, like, futuristic Wonderland stuff, but it's real interesting stuff. And I that's the thing that I feel like you're saying, like, you know, once the corporations get their fast food roots placed down and get their foundations set, a lot of that stuff might start to fade away.
Oh, it's just going to be a ticking clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be massive resort hotels and all kinds of garbage. And then the locals will be pushed out of Havana.
Yeah.
But recently, Conan O'Brien did a whole show from Cuba.
Yes.
And that was really cool.
That's why I assumed it was all cool now, because a guy shot an American TV show there.
Well, that's happened a bunch. Anthony Bourdain did a show a year or two ago in Cuba.
Okay.
So, you know, you could. There are ways to get there. Legally
be famous.
That probably has a lot to do with it.
All right, step one. All right.
Also, maybe have dual citizenship with like any other country and then go to that country first.
Step two. Yeah.
So yeah, anyway,
Marvel Legends. Talking about? Big in Cuba.
How the hell did we start talking about Cuba?
I actually don't remember. I was just realizing a few seconds ago.
Captain America. Yeah, then what else was in that wave? The Spider-Woman. I really like the Spider-Woman, except for her plastic armpit webs. I don't know if that's the most elegant way to have done that. She comes with two sets, like the folded up for when her arms are down, and the completely opened up for if you stick her arms out.
Oh, I hate that stuff. Like, I understand it's a smart way to do it, but it's such a bother to switch stuff like that, that, like, I just never do.
Yeah. And then Hellcat was in that wave. She's okay. And then, like, I lined up the Spider-Woman, the Hellcat, and the Spider-Woman, like, the black and white costume Spider-Woman.
Secret Wars?
Yeah. Well, I think they introduced her after Secret Wars.
I thought they found her in the part of New York that ended up on Battle World, and then, like, Spider-Man was like, hey, you're ripping me off.
No, I don't remember. But anyway, yeah. And she was a member of Freedom Force for a while.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I lined up those three and, like, was really glad to see they weren't just using, here's our lady body. Because none of those three were the same height.
That's cool.
They were all different heights. With Spider-Woman, like, the black and white Spider-Woman being the shortest, the classic original Spider-Woman being the tallest, and Hellcat right in between. Let's see, who else is in that wave?
Thanos. Is that the one with the Thor movie guys?
So a fairly uninspiring Iron Man. It's not bad, but there's nothing really special about it. A movie style Hulk who, I don't know, it seems like his legs are way too long. I kind of think of Hulk as being a little more stumpy leg, like just thick, muscular legs, and these legs seem kind of long and a little too thin. And then that Captain America. Oh, and Batroc the Leaper was in there.
Oh, right? He's in that? Okay, I thought he was in the Thor wave for some reason. This happened last time we were talking about these, didn't it? Where I was like mixing up these waves.
Probably.
Yeah.
And then you build Thanos, and it's cool.
That Thanos looks really nice. I don't know if I want to go for... Like, it's either you go for the whole wave or you pay a ridiculous markup for Thanos. So you kind of are paying the same either way.
I think Gog Dog got Thanos pretty cheap on eBay.
Really?
I think he got him for like the cost of like 2.5 or 2 figures.
Oh, on their own.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I was tweeting all these pictures and then he was like, and then he's just like, I just got Thanos and it wasn't that much. My only real beef with Thanos is the like golden shoulder thing, that like collar bit, pops off real easy and gets itself out of alignment. And I'm sure there's ways it can be fixed. And there's no Infinity Gauntlet. Ah, what are you doing?
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, he's a Thanos in a costume even from after all that, which is, it's a cool looking Thanos, but the more I see pictures of him, the more I'm kind of like, I kind of wish he was just Infinity Gauntlet Thanos.
Yeah. But, you know, it's cool, and it's the scale, and everything's fine. Let's see, what else? Looking over here. Oh, I got those Tamashi Nation effect parts, the red explosions.
Ooh. How are those? Like, what's... I haven't actually seen a breakdown of them. Like, is it just one piece, or is it like...
No, they're three pieces, and then one of the pieces has a hole on the back, so you could use a Tamashii stage to hold it up.
Ooh.
And then you could pile the three pieces to make it look like one taller explosion.
Yeah.
So the backs of them are hollow, so it's not like a full explosion all the way around. So you can't shoot them from any angle or display them from any angle. And then, like, so they're molded in, like, this clear orange plastic. And then the inside, back inside, is painted with this pale yellow. And then some of the outer, like, kind of smokier bulges are brushed with a thin white to sort of give it a little bit of texture.
Yeah.
And then that pale yellow paint that's like on the inside is showing through to give it some color variation. So they're pretty neat in that regard. I almost wish there was bigger ones.
Oh, like even like vehicle size explosions or
even just like as tall as a dude. Because next to a 6-inch figure, they don't even quite come all the way up to their, or they don't even come up to their waist. Like some of the points reach up to a waist, but for the most part they're not much taller than knees.
So you want one that could actually have been once a dude who is now exploding?
That would be cool.
Okay.
And then when you pile them up, they're still not even that tall. They kind of come more up the shoulders.
Yeah.
But, you know, they weren't that expensive, and they're kind of neat to sort of spruce up a display or a photo. So that's cool. Then last time, did I talk about getting that a S.H.I.E.L.D. 3-pack? Toys R Us exclusive?
I don't remember now.
I don't think I did.
I don't think you did. I saw that when I was in the States. And it looks pretty cool. I didn't really want to pay the price for it, but it's
basically Agent Coulson and then a couple bonus figures is what you're buying.
And I was like, I like Coulson, but I don't know if I want to spend like whatever it was, like $50 or $60 for like.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Him. Yeah. Well, that Nick Fury is just, it's an older figure, just repackaged. There may be some paint variants. Like, I think I have that Fury and kind of forgot that I have it. So I'd have to dig it up to compare. And then Maria Hill is just a recolored Black Widow with a new head. But it was Black Widow from, I think, a wave of figures from the last Avenger movie. And she has all the problems. Like, as I was like, I didn't recognize that it was the Black Widow body until I was messing with it. Because Fury comes with two pistols and he has two holsters that the pistols go into. And then Maria Hill doesn't come with her own pistols and has two holsters on her hips with sculpted in pistols that can't be removed. And
oh, that sounds real familiar.
Yeah. This is that Black Widow body that bummed me out. So it's basically that in dark blue with S.H.I.E.L.D. logos on her shoulders and a new head. And the new head's fine.
Mm.
It looks enough like Maria Hill from the movies. But Coulson's really the star of that pack. And that's, I'm sure, the thing almost everybody's going to be getting that set for. And so Coulson comes with, like, the big gun that he blasted Loki with.
Mm-hmm.
And two heads. So, like, a head wearing sunglasses and looking kind of stone-faced. And then no sunglasses head where he has, like, his little smirk. And that's my favorite head because he's smirking.
Yeah, I saw a tall stack of boxes of that 3-pack at Toys R Us when I was in the States last week, and it was real tempting for the Coulson.
Right. Yeah.
And then GOG just got Hot Toys Coulson on the aftermarket for like a decent price considering how beloved Coulson is, and it made me go like, I don't even want to consider this, but that's very tempting too.
Yeah. I wonder if the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show hasn't like maybe, in an unfortunate way, tarnished the Coulson character a little. Because I think because it could be one of those like too much of a good thing situations where when he was just in the movies and a bit part in a lot of ways, and then he had like his cool hero moment in Avengers,
mm-hmm.
then it's like, oh yeah, Coulson's awesome. And then now that he's on every week, it's like, yeah, Coulson's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. yet, but I've seen a lot of discussion about him, and I mean, there's that recent thing with Joss Whedon talking about how he was a little bummed out that they brought him back on a TV show. And the actor is so into the character that I'm okay with him still being around, but I can't, like, I wouldn't be able to immediately go, like, you're wrong if someone was like, I wish he was still dead. There's dramatic reasons that could back that up.
Yeah, well, I don't wish he was still dead. But
I don't wish he was dead. I just wish he was dead.
Well, I love the pictures of the actor opening the Coulson Hot Toys figure.
Yeah.
Just being like, oh my God, it's awesome.
I wish I'd pre-ordered that. I almost did, and I was like, oh, I don't know. And then, of course, that one went super fast.
Yeah. But this isn't much of a spoiler for the show. I don't think I'm going to ruin anything for you. But Coulson runs into a character that's affiliated with one of the Avengers, and he's telling them like, hey, if you don't mind, don't mention that I'm not dead to this person because they have important things to do and I don't want them to be distracted or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's kind of, I don't know.
It's a weird way to keep him alive, but still kind of dead in the movies.
Or preserve the moment in the movies where he comes back and then all the Avengers are like, oh my God, it's Coulson. This is amazing. We're all so happy. Where it would have been like, hey guys, and then like the one dude that knows the person that saw him alive was like, yeah, I knew that. You guys didn't know that? Yeah, pff, whatever, I knew that. But, you know, I think Marvel's doing cool stuff with the cinematic universe and keeping everything tied together. Mm-hmm. Between now three kind of groups, the movies, the TV, and the Netflix groups.
Yeah.
I've only seen two episodes of Daredevil so far, so
Daredevil's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool. That's like just the two episodes have been rad.
Yeah.
But we have to finish House of Cards before we could really get into Daredevil.
Did you see Daredevil and Frank Underwood on Twitter going at it?
No.
So it was the Netflix official Daredevil account and the Netflix official House of Cards account. They're replying to, I think it was a wrestler who was talking about he's going to watch both shows along with Orange is the New Black. And then House of Cards was basically like kind of in Underwood's voice was like, you know, you chose well. And then Daredevil was like, don't think I'm not watching you. And then Underwood was like, what are you going to do about it? And they were like having like a Twitter stare down. And I was like, the only way that this ends is you reveal that House of Cards is taking place in the MCU and the president in the MCU is Frank Underwood. That's the only way this ends.
That'd be amazing.
It's not going to happen, but they set me up for something that won't happen. And I was like, oh, how could you?
Well, my girlfriend hadn't seen House of Cards. So before I could watch season three, we had to watch seasons one and two.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't really that into season one and kind of was a little more into season two. And now we're on episode eight of season three and she's all into it. She's loving season three the most. She's like really excited. She's like, oh, I can't wait to see how this scumbag goes down. And she just wants to see Frank Underwood fall to pieces. And then I'm sitting there watching like, I don't like this season that much. Season three just isn't doing it for me.
Me neither. A lot of people have been saying season three was leagues better than two and that two was weaker than one. And I feel like the complete opposite.
Yeah.
And I don't think that, like, I can understand how someone could get more engaged by what season three was doing. I don't think they're crazy. It's just that I'm surprised by the number of people who felt three was a huge step up from two.
Well, and then I keep reminding myself that in both seasons one and two, like, things don't really start happening and getting kind of nuts until like the last three episodes of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just keep reminding myself, I'm like, okay, hopefully when we get to like the last two, three episodes and everything starts really happening, then it's going to win me over. And maybe I'm just kind of more remembering the nuts parts from the previous seasons. But we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I've questioned myself on my feelings of season three a lot as well, because I think I'm so sold on the ideas that build through one and two, but on the ridiculous parts of those ideas that, like, I think I am like really omitting a lot of the slower build that both those seasons had in my memory.
Yeah. Well, it also kind of is like season one, he's chasing something. Season two, he's chasing something. Season three, he's got it. And no, he's just sort of maintaining it, sort of a thing.
Yeah. And I think Call of Duty Advanced Warfare colored my vision on the show a lot, too. Because part of me was just like,
I've played hours and hours and hours of the multiplayer. I haven't finished the campaign.
I just kept wanting, like, I wanted the House of Cards universe to go, like, Call of Duty insane come season three. And I need to just accept that that didn't happen.
Uh-huh.
I still haven't, but I need to at some point accept that.
Anyway, what we got this week?
Yeah.
Last superhero thing. I got one of them Mezco Batmans.
Oh man, I'm still excited to talk about Mezco Batman.
So I think I had seen pictures of it when it first went on pre-order and didn't put a lot of thought into it. Whatever reason, I was like, I don't know. I already got this Mattel Dark Knight Returns T-Man body Batman or whatever. I don't even remember. And then after you were talking about him being so psyched and looking at pictures, I was like, man, I think I want one of those. Went looking, sold out everywhere I looked. Big Bad, Entertainment Earth. Amazon had them, but for almost twice as much. Just crazy. Crazy prices. Places that had them, crazy prices. Everywhere else sold out. And I was just trying, like, any site I could think of. And then I was like, sometimes Think Geek has action figures. This is a long shot. There's no way Think Geek's going to have it. But, you know, I'm going to go to Think Geek anyway. And I type in Batman, blam, the black version.
And did you notice that when you tweeted that and it got retweeted, a whole lot of people went like, oh, God, they have it in stock.
Yes,
I saw it all over my timeline.
So I find it, I think it was on a Friday night. Then I was like, okay, I'm going to check this one comic book store in Santa Rosa because they tend to get a lot of action figures in. And I'll just see if they have one. And then if not, I'll order it tomorrow. And then I was like, and I ain't telling anybody about this until then.
Yeah.
I'm not breathing a word. I don't know how many they have. I'm already pressing my luck. So I run up to that comic book store. They didn't have it. Get home, order it, get my order confirmation. And then I'm like, hey, if anybody's still looking for this thing, Think Geek's got it. And then I think later that night they were sold out.
Yep. Yep.
Or I went early the next morning at the worst.
I kept an eye on that listing for a day or so, and yeah, it was gone.
Yeah, and then I think Amazon had the light blue version at a semi-decent price, mm-hmm. but I'm not into the light blue version. I like that it comes with the sniper rifle. I don't even remember the pistol from the comic.
I had to do some digging, because I don't have a copy of the comic here, but I believe...
I remember where the sniper rifle came in. I remember that part.
I believe he used the pistol to, like, threaten a mutant or something.
Hmm. I don't remember.
But, yeah,
yeah, and I'm not sure where my copy of Dark Knight Returns is either. I think I have two.
Yeah.
I think I couldn't find my original copy and then bought it again.
Well, you know, if you got the dark blue version from Mezco Direct, you'd have the pistol and the sniper rifle.
Yeah, that was one of the places I looked, too. I went to Mezco's own website, and like, these guys got them. Ah, they said they're sold out, too. God damn it. Ah, damn it, you damn Batman. You damn Batman.
Yeah.
So it's pretty great.
Yeah, I hope I didn't overhype it too much. Like, I listened back to those parts, and I'm like, I legitimately feel everything I said there, but I was like, maybe I laid it on a bit thick.
Well, yeah, the way the bodysuit, I think, kind of constrains the shoulder movement a bit, and I was expecting that from your pictures. Like, I commented in the last episode how, like, one of the poses you had where the arms were up, and you could see the fabric, like, stretching way out from his armpit. And looking more like a web than actually kind of hugging up around his torso. So I was expecting that. Like, I wasn't expecting it to be 1,000% the most amazing thing I've ever seen. But it's still very, very impressive.
Mm.
And I think I got one of, if not the last, pre-order in on Big Bad for the Judge Dredd.
Oh, yeah.
Was sold out, and then I got in, and then I checked again later, and they were sold out again.
Oh, damn. Yeah, they...
Something like that.
They just put up a pre-order for the previous exclusive version of that, too. And it's referencing something I don't understand. But I pre-ordered it anyway, because I really like these, and it feels like I may as well just pre-order them, because they sell out.
Yeah, I think it was sold out when we were recording, and then I looked again a couple days later, and then it wasn't.
Yeah.
And then I looked again a couple days later and it was. So there's another version?
Yeah, there's a previews exclusive one. Let me go and bring it up. It's based on a Judge Dredd story called Cursed Earth. And there's no picture of the figure. It's just the cover of Cursed Earth. And they say, like, this is the previews exclusive colorway. And I'm like, he looks like Judge Dredd still, so I don't get it.
Yeah, I got the picture here.
Like, I'm sure there's something, like, if you see them side by side. But...
maybe something happens in Cursed Earth.
Yeah, it could be like an accessory thing. Or maybe that head design is like really particularly different in a way that I don't understand.
Yeah. It's interesting. See see where they go with this line and what's next.
Yeah, and I mean, they've shown a Judge Dredd, like, motorcycle thing, and they've shown the mutant leader from Dark Knight Returns, so they're making progress on continuing it going.
Well, at least with those two properties.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in, like, what the next property would be.
Walter White.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
What if they did a Frank Underwood? Oh
God. I would just give him Batman sniper rifle and pistol. And if possible, Batman's cape.
So it's become a joke watching House of Cards between my girlfriend and I, if anybody's like giving Frank trouble and not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Like, we'll imitate his accent and be like, "Have you ever been to the subway?" It's like, schedule a meeting at the subway.
Dark. No, I'm glad that you picked one up, and I'm glad that you like it, because like it's a really well done 6-inch scale thing that, and I know you collect a lot of 6-inch stuff.
Yeah, well, I just got him yesterday too. I haven't even really messed with all of his accessories yet.
His accessories are kind of the weakest part of the figure.
Yeah, the one bit with the wires to hold his cape open, if you want his cape all open, I think that's like a neat thing. I'll probably never use it.
I've tried to use it, and I still don't quite understand how to use it. I spent an evening with it, and I was like, I don't get how you work. Like, I could have, if it could have brought the price down, some of his, you know, trinkets and baubles I could have done without. Because I've found, like, with these, like, I've got all three regular versions, and I find I just like to have them on my desk with their fists on, just like in, you know, I'm a punch stuff poses, mm-hmm. and I'm completely satisfied. It's weird. Like, I don't even want to engage with the flight stand stuff.
But yeah. No, I understand. I think it's cool, though.
Yeah.
It's all cool. It's a very cool figure. Looking forward to Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
I probably won't get the Mutant Leader.
If the Mutant Leader is like a really sweet price, if he's like $30 because he's got no shirt or something, then I might.
Well, I scoffed at that, and then like, why would that make a difference? And then, oh yeah, because it would be tailored if he did. So yeah, that actually would make a difference on price.
Yeah, like if he's got no shirt and they don't go overboard with the accessories and he's just like a cheaper figure.
He's probably going to be really big, though.
There's a picture of the prototype. I'm going to go dig it up.
Yeah, then like maybe, depending on the price, the Judge Dredd motorcycle, because those motorcycles were rad. But I probably won't. It's really going to depend on the price and if it comes with anything like extraordinarily awesome, like a Rob Schneider or something. Or a...
It doesn't come with a Rob Schneider. The picture of it from Toy Fair, it's in a display, but I'm guessing that maybe it will come with a display. I don't know.
The bike.
Yeah, the bike. The Mutant Leader comes with a torch.
Well, it should better come with that display if that's how they're showing it.
Well, yeah, maybe the Mutant Leader comes with the whole junkyard, and that's how they'll make him more expensive.
What if the motorcycle came with a Sylvester Stallone head?
I think we talked about this before. I'd be okay with that.
I could kind of see that building backdrop being something included, but that giant piece of ground seems too much.
Yeah.
And also the Mutant Leader is not as big as I was thinking he would have been.
Oh no, he's basically just the Batman buck with like new hands and feet.
And those giant nipples.
Yep.
Which bug me.
Big nipples.
It's bug actually me in pretty... the comics. Bug me in the animated movie they did. It bugs me here.
There's a nice big close up of him here and you can see his nipples even better.
Great. Can't wait to click on it. What's your mutant power? Giant nipples.
Don't touch them.
They're extremely sensitive. That's don't why want to know what happens. That's why I can't wear a shirt.
Yeah. I get overwhelmed. As my nose starts bleeding.
Oh, South Park.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's all I got this week.
That's all I got this week.
You didn't get anything off top?
No.
Not even Legos or anything?
No. I messed around with Legos.
Are we done with Legos? Is that what's happening here?
I got a new Lego set, but I've been saving it for a live stream, so I haven't built it yet.
Oh.
I'm picking up the new movie sets, but I'm trying to stay focused on just picking them up. I'm trying to resist a lot of the comic book stuff because I got 4 Marvel sets, like $20 Marvel sets way back, and I still haven't built them. And I'm like, maybe I don't need comic book Lego. Like, Lego movie is where my passion lies.
Oh, I've only heard rumblings about it. I didn't really investigate what the deal is, but there's like a Skylanders type Lego thing in the works.
Yeah, it's a Toys to Life, and they're neat little Lego kits, but it's Toys to Life, so it's like you get these little Lego kits in packs, and you build really neat looking little stuff, but the packs are super expensive for the parts you're getting, because you build these things and put them on a little flight stand, and the flight stand has the chip in it. Uh-huh. But they're tapping a lot of their licenses. There's going to be like a Back to the Future pack with like Marty McFly and a little DeLorean and something else.
Hmm.
And they're using their license as well. And they're doing the thing they should be doing because they've got a toy line that works for it. I just hope that they aren't presenting a weird scenario like saying you build it and it's in the game, because that's impossible. That is like absolutely impossible.
I forget what they're called, but there's this other new Toys to Life toy line thing that I've been seeing around a lot lately where they're just like these little square guys and they're only like two or three parts, and then you download the game to your mobile device.
And they look Lego-ish, right?
Yeah, just then they're little block guys that stick together.
Yeah, I saw those. They had a really weird 90s-ish name.
Like, yeah, and then you point your phone camera at it, and then it recognizes what parts you used, and then that's in the game.
That's cool. I wonder how well that works.
I don't know. It might work great, and then the game is garbage, for all I know.
Yeah.
Oh, the Judge Dreads are open for pre-order again on Big Bad. They're not sold out anymore.
I think that's a new thing that just happened today when they listed the previews one. They must have, like, confirmed more stock.
Or some people are like, no, I want the preview one, and canceled the other one.
They have no idea what the preview one looks like.
I just want it.
It's limited.
It's $5 more, so it has to be better.
Well, that's all for us here on episode 353. So thanks all for tuning in. We'll be back next week with some more Transformers talk and other talk. Thank you for joining me, Seth.
Yeah, and deal with it.
Yeah. We'll be back later. Until then, stay safe and stay
crunchy.
But you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.